Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Crady Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Beautiful night at Peoria Public School Stadium as the Silver Streaks take the kickoff. J.J. Range returns it to the 40-yard line, and we are underway between the Silver Streaks at 2-3 on the season, and the Manuel Rams still looking for their first win of the year at 0-5. Jim, I know we mentioned it in the pregame, said we talk about it during the game. We said this is as good as we've ever seen the turf, I think, here at Peoria Public School Stadium.
Yeah, they've had issues with it, especially between the 40-yard lines in years where it's been a little bit rainy, but this year has been conducive to keeping the turf in pretty good shape, and so we're playing on a nice, soft green grass tonight.
Ben Holloway gets a hole across right tackle and stopped just a couple of yards short of the first down as the Silver Streaks opening drive starts from the 40, and Holloway takes it across right tackle for a gain of 8 on first down.
Brad, you noted that a little bit of a change on that front line for Galesburg. We've got Matt Hawkins doing the center duty tonight. Hawkins replacing Jake McCreary, who's out with an injury.
Peyton Isaacson comes up under center with Hawkins in that spot, takes a snap, hands off to Range, and crosses the 50-yard line into Rams territory for a first down at the Manuel 49. J.J.'s taken more of the carries here in the past couple of games, more so late in the game, but if anything, what it's done, it seemed to have built his confidence late in the games against both Peoria and Notre Dame last week and Peoria Richwood's the previous week, and here he takes the second handoff of the game. Tyler Podwoiski splits out wide to the near side. Down below us from our high perch up atop of the home side of the Peoria Stadium, and Manuel has movement on the right side of their defensive line as Basil McClain at 6'3", 260, jumps into the neutral zone, and the first penalty of the game against Manuel puts Galesburg at a first and 5.
Well, a guy that size is kind of hard to miss, and what was interesting, he jumped, and usually guys will quickly get back. Well, he jumped into the neutral zone and just stood there looking at the official like, aren't you going to throw the flag? And so finally the whistle blew and he got the flag.
Manuel has been burdened by penalties. We'll talk about that as the night goes along. Now back in the pistol, Isaacson with the snap, the handoff to Holloway. Nice little hole across the middle. And he feels his way through there up to the 35-yard line of the Rams. 3 yards past the first down marker, so the Silver Streaks have run three plays and very quickly moving deeper into Manuel territory.
It's got to feel great for Holloway and Range both. They get the ball, and there's actually some room to run. We've gone against those great defensive lines the last 2 weeks in Richwood's and in Notre Dame, and excellent linebackers as well, but not that Manuel's bad, but they're sure not what those other two teams are.
Traditional I formation, handoff to Range, a hole across the right side and tripped up, and that may have saved a really big gain, maybe even a touchdown, as Marcus Sierra, who doubles as the starting quarterback, comes out of the secondary spot, takes Range down just short of the 25-yard line. A gain of 9 brings up 2nd and 1. So already the Silver Streaks down to the 26,
yeah,
Jim.
Working towards the south end. That's away from the scoreboard if you've been here at Peoria Stadium, and working towards War Memorial Drive, basically.
Letting that offensive line do the job. Range runs left this time, gets the first down to the 20-yard line, a gain of 6, and the Silver Streaks pounding, pounding, pounding the line, and everything has been moving downhill on this drive, which started back at the Galesburg 40 after a good opening kickoff from Range. An opening kickoff return, excuse me. Now Isaacson drops back into the pistol with Range lining up to his left, Holloway to the backside, and wideouts to each side, but they stay on the ground to Holloway. Cuts right, cuts left, moves up the middle of the field to the 15-yard line before being taken down there. A gain of another 5, and it's 2nd and 5 upcoming.
Well, no breakaway runs on this, but a very methodical drive, picking up 5 yards or more at a clip and knocking on the door here, getting the first score of the night.
Now back into the I formation as Isaacson comes up under center with Hawkins, takes the snap, hands off up the middle. Not as much running room that time for Range. He does cross the 15 inside to about the 12-yard line. And it'll bring up third down for the first time tonight for the Silver Streaks. They've really struggled on third down this year, converting less than 20% of the time, just an 18% conversion rate on third down. But I like their chances here on third and short, the way they've been moving the ball.
Range got swallowed up by the guy that was offsides a few plays ago, Basil McClain. He's a big dude, and He rumbled Range down after a gain of about five.
Single set back behind Isaacson. Hands off to Range. Big hole across the left side. Crosses the 10. First down territory. Inside the 10. First and goal. Silver Streaks. As he works his way all the way down to the 5-yard line. It's been a mix-up of Range and Holloway on this opening drive. They're actually going to spot it at the 6. First and goal for the Silver Streaks. Just outside the Rams' 5-yard line. Hand off Holloway. Cuts back up the middle.
There we go.
Short of the goal line and crosses the goal line into the end zone. And Galesburg swiftly and efficiently moves downfield, taking just over 3 minutes. And they strike first, leading 6-0.
Well, obviously, Coach Doherty and company had the team ready for that opening drive. They'd done their homework on the manual defense, and we were able to do pretty much what we wanted to on that drive. And let's hope that that continues throughout the evening. We figured there could be a lot of points in this game. Manuel's got some explosive guys offensively, so that'll be the key. I think we'll score, but just a matter of keeping these guys off the board.
An 8-play scoring drive. Silver Streaks now set their kicking formation. Manuel, by the way, will not attempt to kick extra points. They haven't attempted one at all this year, but the Silver Streaks are going to go ahead and take the extra point here, striking first. Build a 7-0 lead. Podwoiski with the hold. Peyton Isaacson's kick is wide right, apparently. So the Streaks lead holds at 6-0, 8:48 to go first quarter. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Handyman offers your business an affordable option to brand yourself on the outside of our vehicles. You'll be featured as one of our limited traveling billboards seen everywhere all over town each Monday through Saturday. You'll get exclusive placement on one or as many of our vans in our fleet as you want. You customize, design, and supply your own signage, and we'll display it on our handyvans for an entire year or as long as you like. People might even start thinking it's your vehicle instead of ours. Contact Julie Main at 345-3614 for more details.
Your news talk and sports station, WGIL.
At Peoria Public School Stadium, the Manuel Rams will have the ball from the 30, just across the 35-yard line. Galesburg with an early 6-0 lead on a 9-play scoring drive to open the game that covers 60 yards in 3 minutes and 12 seconds. The quarterback for the Rams is Marcus Sierra, and he takes the shotgun snap, hands off left to Ronald Powell, works his way to the 40-yard line for a gain of 5. On first down. And the Manuel Rams do have that ability to move the ball themselves. Silver Streaks, as much as anything, will try to do some serious contained defense here tonight and try to prevent them from getting to the outside.
Some more scores starting to come in. First blood drawn by Peoria Notre Dame over Moline, 7-0. Figured that one would maybe get out of hand. The big game of the night, Mercer County leads Stark County 14-7, second quarter.
And a fumble in the backfield as Marcus Sierra falls on it. Looked like a pretty good snap right to the numbers, and then I'm not sure if he juggled it as he tried to make the handoff or if there was just a bad connection, misconnection on the handoff. But Manuel does recover. They lose 3 on the play. Actually, they're going to spot it almost all the way back. They're going to actually spot it behind the original line of scrimmage, so they lose 5 on the play. And that'll bring up 3rd and 11. So not the right start for the Manuel Rams. And talking about turnovers, they have lost 8 fumbles this year. They've actually had 15 fumbles in the first five games and lost eight of them. So that's been a problem for them all year long.
Well, and in our two wins over Moline and UT, those fumbles by the opponent came in pretty handy.
Back to pass, looking across the middle of the field. Man open and just out of the outstretched arms of Leroy Smith in Galesburg territory at the 35-yard line. He broke free from his defender just in the last few steps, and had that ball come down just a little bit quicker, he may have taken it all the way.
Yeah, Ben Holloway was keeping up with him for a while, but then the longer-legged receiver had broken, and Holloway actually fell down. So if that ball is just a little more underthrown, that's probably 6 points. We caught a break on that one. Holloway will go back near where he defended the play to receive the punt of Manuel Holloway, standing at his own 23-yard line.
So Manuel takes only about a minute and a half off the clock. Three plays and out. A short snap. Sierra just has to swallow it. Then he gets face masked in the backfield behind the 30-yard line before the Silver Streaks finally take him down at about the 29.
Really an unfortunate situation for Galesburg. We were going to get the ball at their 30 or thereabouts, but grabbed his face mask as he went to his left.
Was that Darby who was running past him, I think?
Yeah, I'm not sure who grabbed it, but we'll have to see how this all plays out, because we missed a great opportunity there.
Well, it's going to be incidental, so just a 5-yard penalty. So the Streaks get a break there. Had it been unsportsmanlike, then it would have been an automatic first down. But instead, just a 5-yard, so it's added on to the loss. So the Silver Streaks would have had the ball, unfortunately, inside the Manuel 30-yard line. Now they give Manuel another chance to putt. Another short snap. The rush is on. He gets the punt away. Gets a little bit of wind behind it. Gets up in the air and then takes a huge Manuel roll from just outside the 25-yard line all the way down to just short of the 10.
We lost about 60 yards in that exchange. But we got the ball. But I was a little surprised that Ben Holloway just cleared out away from that one. He immediately just came running up and was going to let it bounce, and it took a big-time manual roll. So the Streaks have just under 90 yards to go here for another touchdown. But the way we moved the ball the last time, you got to think that's very possible, because Silver Streaks did what they wanted with the ball on their first possession.
Penalty sure hurts, though. Instead of having it in manual territory at the 29, now you got to go, as Jim said, almost 90 yards. Hand off to Holloway, cuts left, got some running room. Across the 20-yard line, wrapped up and taken down from behind inside the 25. A scramble, as it appears the ball came out. And the officials blow the whistle dead. But are they going to say that Holloway was down? Streaks are going to have the ball. They're going to hang on to it at the 29. So a gain of 18 on first down for Holloway.
Yeah, no questioning that from the Manuel sideline. And so I'm not even sure that Manuel got the ball anyway, but the ball was on the ground for a little bit. But Holloway with a nice gain. He comes out to the right side in pass formation. Range is the only one in the backfield right now with Isaacson.
Yeah, and Isaacson coming under center again. Really the first time we've seen him come under center for snaps this much this season. Swing pass to the outside. Holloway cuts right, frees up from his man, and tackled just short of the 50-yard line. Run out of bounds at the Galesburg 46.
Yeah, pretty simple play. They just swing it out in the screen pass there, and Tyler Podwieski was your lead blocker. He took care of his man, and by the time anybody else got over there, the Streaks had themselves another first down.
Isaacson didn't complete a pass in the game last week until really the outcome had been determined. So the passing game not effective for the Silver Streaks against Notre Dame last week. They go to the air early here, and now Range up the middle for a gain of about 8 on first down as he crosses into Manuel territory down to the 47.
Nice to see J.J. Range get on track tonight. As you said, he'd been getting a few more carries late in the game the last couple of weeks. And we need somebody to take some of that rushing load off of Holloway. He's a guy that would take the ball every time if you handed it to him, but that body takes a pounding, especially when you're no bigger than Ben is.
Isaacson fakes the handoff, scrambling left, now cuts back up to the middle, gets a first down across the 45 to about the 43-yard line as Isaacson hangs on to the ball for his first carry of the night. We're midway through the first quarter, Galesburg leading 6-0, and a first down in Manuel territory at the 43-yard line.
Speaking of taking a pounding, Isaacson did that time. He got doubled up by Drakar Harris and Keandre Moore. For Manuel, they took him down hard, but he bounced right back up.
Drive started back just outside the Galesburg 10. Range cuts back across the middle, stopped right at the 40-yard line. Shortest Really shortest gain of the night for the Silver Streaks, but they still pick up two. And it's spotted at the Rams' 41-yard line. Boy, Abingdon Avon, A-Town, continuing to roll, now leading Peoria Heights 42-0 early in the second quarter.
Pretty good chance you'll see A-Town in the playoffs after they ran into some tough teams early. They're making short work of their black division.
Isaacson going downfield for Holloway. It's caught, and he's got a touchdown. With the pass completion inside the 20, and Holloway was untouched the rest of the way for a 41-yard touchdown and a 12-0 Galesburg lead.
So important to get out early for either team in this game because both teams are a little bit down on their confidence after some recent losses, and you can really see now which team is benefiting so much from the energy generated by their first score or two. Silver Streaks are flying high, and boy, the Manual guys are looking around like we thought this might be one we could get, maybe not. So Manuel's going to have to reach deep to get a little energy back onto this field.
Holloway ran the first touchdown of the night in. This one goes as a pass play. Holloway's third touchdown reception of the season. Streaks go for two. They get it out to who else? Holloway, who cuts to the outside, finds the corner. It's 14-0 Galesburg. 5:11 to go in the first quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's.
A more in-depth look at the day's local news and happenings. The WGIL Evening News, weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Six plays, 89 yards. A minute 59 is all it took for the Silver Streaks to march downfield. Peyton Isaacson finds Ben Holloway for a 41-yard pass play. And then Holloway runs in the extra point. It's 14-0 Silver Streaks. With 5:11 to go, still here in this first quarter. That was the Silver Streaks' first attempt at a two-point conversion on the ground this season. Isaacson's kick, short, to the far side of the field, and taken on the run, and a nice tackle the ankles by Myler.
Ah, way to go, Myler. Good job.
Nick Myler got in there after the short run back by Ronald Powell. And the Manual Rams will have the ball at their own 36-yard line where the last drive started, and that was a successful defensive stand for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, Powell took that short kick and was trying to run left, and before he could get up any momentum, Nick Myler was over there to just one of those perfect tackles. He got him right down by the ankles, both legs, and just tripped him right up. So the Streaks doing everything right so far, at least from our vantage point, up way up high here in the venerable old Peoria Stadium press box where it's a lot warmer than we'd ever think it would be on the sixth week of the season.
It's sure enough.
The humidity more than the heat tonight. It's just very, very humid out here.
All right, coming out of the pistol. The young man who just ran the run back, Powell, lines up behind Sierra, the quarterback, who keeps it himself, trying to sprint to the outside, and he cannot quite get to the corner. He's able to turn it upfield just enough for a gain of about four on first down, but the Streaks did a nice job of stringing him out and preventing him from cutting upfield. And it'll be second and six for the Rams.
Yeah, give that tackle to Gage Miller going all the way over to the sideline to bring down the ball carrier. So the Streaks not only showing up well on offense the first two series, defensively looking pretty tough and trying to get that football back here. We've still got 4-plus minutes to go in this first quarter, already up 14-0.
Marcus Sierra, one of the, in fact, he is the leading rusher on the season for the Rams at 245 yards, averages just under 5 yards a carry. That went for four on first down, and we're clock ticking. 4:20 to go in the first quarter. Silver Streaks trying to defend a 14-0 lead. Back to pass and throwing off his back foot. Flag down in the backfield as Sierra lofted it. There was really nobody there. Nick Myler made a nice diving attempt, and the flag is coming away from where the ball was. So the officials conferring now. Okay. Referee pointing back toward Manuel's direction here.
Anton Ivey was the only Manual receiver in the area. I don't think he got interfered with. Is that going to be the call, though? Yep.
Huh.
I mean, he was 15 yards away from the ball, but they must have thought he got held back there. So that'll be an automatic first down, and Manuel will get the ball across the Galesburg, across the 50 into Galesburg territory at the 46 after the penalty.
Sierra threw that ball so far, I don't think even if he wasn't interfered with that there was any chance he would have been able to catch up to it. But at the Galesburg 46-yard line, second penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks, and both have been damaging. 4:11 to go here in this first quarter. Manuel crosses the 50 for the first time. A short snap to Sierra. He handles it. Now rolling right under a lot of pressure. Again trying to cut upfield and run out of bounds on the Galesburg sideline just inside the 45 to the 44. Looks like Jake Ferguson gets credit for the tackle. A gain of just 2.
Jake Ferguson, last week's Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game here on WGIL, caught the touchdown pass for the only score last week in that loss to Peoria Notre Dame, and this time getting it done on the defensive side of the ball.
Second quarter score, Knoxville shutting out Beardstown, 21-0.
Wow, that's impressive. Beardstown's 4-1.
Yep. So the Blue Bullets seem to be recovering nicely after a loss to Elmwood Brimfield, which they led late in the game. Now second and a long 8, and a flag down in the backfield will be a penalty against Manuel just as they snapped this one underway. Be the second penalty of the night against the Rams. And the official signal is the false start. Manuel has been penalized a lot this year. 42 penalties in the first 5 games, so more than 8 a game on average.
Wow.
For 351 yards.
Well, at the time we played East Moline, they were going through some of that as well. They had had, in fact, what, the week before we played them, 160 yards in penalties. Yeah, that must have been a long game, huh?
Yeah, there were over 200 yards in penalties in that game.
And quite a few points, I think, too. So,
all right, takes it back to second and 14 at the 50. Galesburg leading 14-0. 4 minutes to go here in this first quarter. And now the Streaks jump into the neutral zone, and Manuel's going to get those 5 yards right back.
Well, who'd we get over there? Time to see who jumped. Yep, they made contact, so there was no jumping back on that one.
Right. All right, so right back where we started. Second and long 8 here. Back in Galesburg territory at the 45. 3 penalties already against Galesburg tonight, and that has not been a problem for them this year. But early in the game here against Manuel, it has been. Handoff left side to Powell, and he gets stuffed short of the line of scrimmage for a loss of a yard. That'll take him back to the Galesburg 46, and the defensive line was ready that time.
Christian Powers over there along with Aaron Bauman for the tackle as the Streaks double team, and no yardage to be made there for the Manuel Rams, who are really needing a score here, at least to get the ball deep into Galesburg territory to prove that they can do something offensively.
Ronald Powell has emerged in the past couple of weeks as probably their most effective rusher. Carried the ball 7 times last week in the loss to Peoria Central. They have gone through a number of running backs this year trying to find somebody who can consistently get the job done. Back to pass across the middle of the field, intercepted by Holloway and tackled inside the 25-yard line, but another overthrow by Marcus Sierra, and Holloway was able to run deep and pick it off. And for the Manuel Rams, that goes as their 9th interception this year.
Yeah, big-time overthrow there, and Holloway probably the wrong guy to throw it to if you're Manuel because he's got good hands, already has a touchdown pass for the Silver Streaks on offense. Justin Ashford, a wide receiver for the Rams, did make a nice tackle. If he doesn't get Holloway, Ben probably runs for 20 yards or so at least there after the interception, but Ashford was in the neighborhood, wrapped him up, and kept the Galesburg returner at the 23.
Isaacson will come up under center with Range the lone setback behind Peyton. One wide out to the top of the field, 2 to the bottom. Range bounces off some defenders at the line of scrimmage. Stacked up right at the 30-yard line and run laterally, but still J.J. picks up 7 on a good carry on first down.
Some good strength there by J.J. Never did go down. He got wrapped up by Landis Tolliver of the Manuel Rams, but Tolliver, all he could do is push him back, couldn't bring him down. Range showing him some good determination, and you can tell he's really energized to be out there and contributing on offense in this game.
13 plays on the ground, 2 through the air for the Silver Streaks, and everything for positive yardage here in the early going. And here's another positive gain as Holloway ducks underneath and then rolled down in first down territory at the 36. Holloway comes up looking a little perturbed with somebody with the arm getting up there high around his helmet. I think Ben might have thought he got face masked, but Nevertheless, a gain of six moved the chains.
Yeah, it was almost, and I think they grabbed him by the back of the top of the helmet and threw him down. It was borderline, not horse collar, but up in that area, Draker Harris making the tackle. Holloway thought he might get more yardage, but we'll take what he did, another first down.
From the Galesburg 36-yard line, Range trying to bounce to the outside, couple of lead blockers. Podwoiski fights off one man, Range tackled by two more. But not till he gets to the 47-yard line, and the Streaks move the chains again as they approach midfield.
Well, Range did such a nice job of following his blocks that time. The two men in front of him, he just put his left hip on the left tackle, who was blocking his man, made it the shortest distance to get across the line of scrimmage, used those blocks, and then got out and around for another good game.
J.J. already 8 carries for 53 yards. He's 3 short of his season high, and we're not even out of the first quarter yet. Holloway with a carry this time and then wrapped up in the backfield for a loss back to the 45. It was Sean Merzetz, under 2 minutes to go, and the Silver Streaks face second and 11 at their 45. Yep, just a loss of one. Thought they were going to mark it back at the 45. It'll be at the 46. So that's the Silver Streaks' first loss of yardage on a play in this game. They lead 14-0. On second down, and now Range hit and brought down as a flag comes flying in from the referee. And that one I thought was away from the ball. They're going to call a hold on the Silver Streaks. So uncharacteristic penalties against the Galesburg Silver Streaks tonight. That'll be their fourth of the night and the third one of the four that's really done some significant damage.
Yeah, you know, but we've been able to overcome them at this point, still leading 14-0. You sure wouldn't want to do this in a real tight ball game.
See if the Rams choose to turn this one down.
I think they're going to take it.
It looks like it. Because it certainly wouldn't have been a positive gain. If anything, J.J. was lucky to have gotten back to the line of scrimmage, but Manuel's going to take the penalty. So the Streaks keep the down, but now they're facing second and 21 back at the 35.
Boy, and how much do they trust their speed? Look at this, Brad, defensively. They don't have 7 yards to the line of scrimmage as far away as anybody is. They don't have anybody back deep. So they like their one-on-one ability, their speed to cover, even with two wideouts on both sides for Galesburg. And now we've got a timeout.
And the Silver Streaks call a timeout as they went to a spread formation. And Manuel's, as you were indicating, Jim, even within that about 7-yard range, they were pretty spread out on the field as well from sideline to sideline, so Tim Doherty didn't like something that he saw, and he was quick to call the timeout.
Yeah, and I would think maybe Manuel might want to rethink that too, although I suppose they've watched film. They know that outside of Holloway, there really isn't a whole lot of breakaway-type speed on the Silver Streaks team. So they
especially
feel
with Josh Eicher out
right
now.
And Eicher had the height, too, at 6'4", yes, to do that damage. We really miss his size in there at the wide receiver spot.
Here in Notre Dame now leading Moline 13-0 at the end of the first quarter. Mid-County has a 20-0 lead over Ridgewood at the half. That's good to see. And again, Knoxville shutting out Beardstown. Monmouth-Roseville losing to Pittsfield. Griggsville-Perry 8-0 in the second quarter. Anawan-Weathersfield shutting out United 13-0. Thanks to Ted Bevenauer, Brian Prescott for keeping us updated on scores throughout the night so we can keep you updated. All right, coming out of the Galesburg timeout, Holloway behind his blockers up the middle, bounces off a man, back into Manuel territory, breaks free, and now we've got a foot race downfield. He may go all the way. Touchdown, Silver Streaks.
And we said there was one man on the Silver Streaks team that had breakaway speed, and Manuel just got a dose of him. Ben Holloway outruns everybody with a long touchdown run, and the Streaks trying to run away with this one in the first half.
He looked to be stopped at the line of scrimmage, but he bounced off a couple of defenders there. Suddenly he found a hole, and a 64-yard touchdown run puts Galesburg up 20-0. Still a minute four to go in the first quarter. Holloway has all the points tonight. Peyton Isaacson is going to try to get an extra point here so he can at least account for something. Okay, he does have the touchdown pass, I guess, to Holloway. The snap looks good. The hold looks good. This one may be wide left. Oh, he gets it inside the upright. The officials, I'm not sure, agree on that one.
He almost over-adjusted for being wide right on the other kick.
21-0 as the Silver Streaks lead it with just over a minute to go here in this first quarter. Our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation tonight in a Nissan Juke.
That's right. Same one we had last week, and comfortable seats. It's all leather-appointed interior. I think this Juke has just about everything on it that you would want. We talked last week about your ability to switch on the fly as far as the engine. We use the Econo feature on the way over here to conserve a little gas out on 74, but then you get in town, you can go with the turbo feature, have a little more spunk in the engine. So stop by and see the sporty Nissan Juke at Galesburg Nissan, one of the certified pre-owned fleet at Galesburg Nissan, next to the Sandberg Mall in Galesburg.
A five-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks takes 2 minutes and 6 seconds off the clock, and they cover 77 yards in that two-minute time span. The previous drive covered 89 yards in a minute 59, and the first, the opening drive, 60 yards in 3:12, so the shortest scoring drive the Streaks have had took up the most time. And now they're really rolling downhill, leading by three touchdowns. With just over a minute to go in the first quarter, Isaacson's kick, a low-line drive taken by Sierra, slips a little bit with his footing at the 16-yard line, cuts upfield, and then wrapped up short of the 30-yard line.
Now, for whatever breakaway threats Manuel had that Coach Tim Doherty was concerned about, so far they haven't been able to make anything happen. The Streaks have been swarming on defense, and outside of maybe that one pass attempt where they had a man open down the middle of the field that they overthrew, they really haven't gotten anything going. And now I thought maybe we had a penalty, but nope. Manuel will take over the ball at the 29.
Yep, Manuel's just going especially deep to huddle up before coming to the line of scrimmage. Galesburg's got some defenders in tight. Now they see what formation pops out. Range and Ferguson to defend to the left. Michael Moss to defend deep. Tyler Podwoiski to the near side. And in the snap, Sierra handoff. And a fumble in the backfield. A scramble for it as it looked like Hawkins stripped it loose from Powell, who had to then cut backward and try to dive back on. It's going to go as a big loss on first down for the Rams.
Yeah, that ball was on the ground for a while too, but Hawkins was down. I think somebody was laying on his legs, and so Powell had a chance to look back, see if they're readjusting, go back and get it. As a running back, you don't get that chance very often, but he was able to get it in there just before Hawkins showed up to try and pull it away from him.
Second fumble of the night for Manuel, but they've regained on both times, but now second and 15 back at their own 24. As we tick under 20 seconds to go here in this opening quarter.
It's been a long first quarter, but a very productive one for our Galesburg Silver Streaks.
These are the kind of long nights we like. Back to pass. Down the sideline, nobody there.
That
in fact,
flag.
Sierra overthrows everybody, and we got another flag down on the near sideline.
Yeah, a little contact there. I wondered if they weren't going to flag that on Tyler Podwoiski. They're going to call him for a hold.
Looks like he actually bumped E.J. Myler out of bounds, even. So, again, another damaging penalty on the Silver Streaks. Going to give Manuel another first down by penalty. Those are the only first downs the Manuel Rams have had tonight have been on Galesburg penalties. Still waiting for the official signal, and it is pass interference.
Hmm. Interesting. You play a team that gets penalized a lot, and it's like it's contagious. Oh, we need to do that too. And we're doing our share tonight.
Well, you know, I was worried about that because we've seen it so often. You know, not just to the high school level, but really at all levels of football. You run into a team that's had that problem, and all of a sudden, even if you haven't been doing it all year, you do. And I didn't want to ask anybody about it. I didn't want to mention it to anybody, but that's the fifth penalty of the Streaks for 50 yards now.
Well, sometimes it's because if you get some linemen that are a little chippy and a lot of talking going on, you can get stuff that way. But this is a lot of this is happening out on the edge, in areas of the field that's one-on-one that you wouldn't expect any sort of gamesmanship going on.
Sierra finds a hole up the middle, now trying to bounce to the outside and taken down by the ankles as Nick Myler runs him down inside Galesburg territory at the 47-yard line, and that ends the first quarter. But a good quarter, as Jim mentioned, for the Silver Streaks, their best of the season in any quarter. 21-0, a lead for the Silver Streaks over the Rams after one. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Get unbelievable savings Friday, October 4th through Sunday, October 6th during Menards Crazy Day Sale. Save $60 on a Hunter room air purifier, just $39.99. Be ready for projects with a 6-foot aluminum stepladder by Keller, just $29.99 after rebate. Save $30 after sale price and rebate on a kid's high-back turbo booster car seat, only $19.98 after rebate. Goodwill supplies last. Don't miss Menards Crazy Day Sale Friday through Sunday.
Save big money at Menards.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
First down that the Manual Rams have had tonight that has actually come from an offensive play. Silver Streaks gave him first downs on penalties two times earlier. Marcus Sierra runs for 15 on the final play of the first quarter, and that takes their first quarter offensive production from 4 yards to 20 yards in the first quarter. So they had only four for the first 11 minutes and 55 seconds, and they picked up 15 on the final play of quarter number one.
Yeah, hard to imagine the Streaks defense playing any better, just almost giving up negative yardage there through that first quarter. Good Galesburg contingent, probably a couple hundred fans over there. It doesn't look like that much because the stands at Peoria Stadium are huge on the visitor's side. Once upon a time, this was an auto racetrack, and it still shows a lot of those signs. They used to put a lot of people in here.
Back to pass. Sierra gets away from pressure. Now he's under pressure again and just throws it away to the Manual sideline with nobody in the vicinity, and there's the flag coming down from the back judge. Sideline judge was right there. He had a much better look at it, but it took the back judge to throw the flag down, as there was nobody in the vicinity for the Rams.
Yeah, the official's getting a workout in this one tonight.
Surely that's got to be what the call is, right?
Well, he was out of the pocket. Was that count in high school? In the NFL, you can throw it away if you're out of the pocket.
But... and maybe that's what they're talking about. Maybe the back judge threw the flag down, and now they're trying to decide whether he was in the box. Long discussion going on.
The one has his chin resting on his hand. He's considering everything that...
It's a chin scratcher.
Yeah.
Think about this one.
It really is. He's taking a little input from the other four officials. They've all given their 2 cents worth, and now they're pointing to the field.
Side judge has had enough. He's walked away.
Of course, Coach Dan Fowler Emanuel's throwing in his 2 cents from about 20 yards away.
Yeah, they kind of take a look back at him.
Just going to wave it off, you think?
I think that's probably what's coming. I think you're right, Jim. I think he was enough out of the pocket. Meanwhile, scores continue to roll in. BPC's struggles continue. They're down at halftime to Lewistown, 50-0. Jim and I have almost in cruel interest have watched how BPC's points have added up against them this year. They've been outscored 248-14 coming into tonight.
They are going to call that intentional grounding, Brad, after all that discussion.
There it is.
Yep. But no, that
and loss of down, too.
We've got some teams, some of the small school teams in the area that are just really challenged. I don't know how else to put it, but, I mean, you know, West Prairie didn't even field a team last week.
That's right.
They're putting a team on the field tonight, but I can't imagine that's going to go very well for them. I mean, there's four or five teams that just really have no chance whenever they take the field, and it's just too bad.
Moline trailing Peoria Notre Dame 20-7 now. So the loss of 10 on the penalty and the loss of down will make it 2nd and 20, and still the officials, they've walked off the penalty, and they're still talking it over out there. Kids are ready to play on both sides. They're lined up ready to go. Now they picked up the ball, and they're going to walk off five more. And they're going to move it to the opposite hash mark. Or they're just going to take their ball and go home. I'm not sure. Where's he going?
This could be infringing on our Dairy Queen time after the game if we don't get things going here, guys. Let's go.
All right. So now we've marked it all the way back to the 39. Make it a 15-yard penalty. Third of the night against the Rams. 2nd and 25. Out of the shotgun. Sierra, another short snap, picks it up off the ground, swings it to the near side, a catch, and an immediate tackle made by J.J. Range on the near side as the catch made by Justin Ashford, and he immediately looks back at the officials and said, you did call that a catch, right? But it goes as a gain of only 2.
A lot of work for a 2-yard gain, but still a good effort by the young man to make the catch with J.J. right on his back. First, finally starting to move again, 11:25, second quarter, and a big Streaks lead.
First completion of the night for Manual quarterback Marcus Sierra. From the Rams' 41-yard line, 3rd and 23. Silver Streaks have 2 deep in the secondary. Sierra in the shotgun. Back to pass. Good protection. Lost it down the near sideline and open, but Ashford couldn't bring it in. Looked like he got himself turned around a little bit when he went airborne for it, and the ball went behind him a little bit. Well-thrown ball, as this time Sierra was throwing into the wind, and he measured the distance much better, but it still falls incomplete.
Yeah, if you're manual, that's one you got to catch. He did a nice job. He got in a seam there between Range and Holloway. Range was up closer. Holloway was playing back, and he got in that little seam there. Would have been a good pass completion, and maybe not. It would have been probably been a first down if he hauls that ball in, but as the case is, now it's fourth and very long, and the Rams will have to kick it away.
End of the first quarter, the only Western Big Six game of the night finds Rock Island leading Alleman 7-0. All right, after watching a pretty good punt back in the first quarter, Ben Holloway's gone kind of deep here at the 25, and now under pressure, Sierra's going to run with it and escapes a tackle, now trying to run up the near sideline, and finally the Silver Streaks run him out of bounds. Whistles fly as Sierra gets hit, falling out of bounds. I think the manual crowd and maybe even some of the coaches wanted a late hit on the Silver Streaks. They're not going to get it, though, and Manuel gives it up on downs. Galesburg has great field position at the 50.
That was a good no call because he was right on the sideline, but he was not out of bounds when that hit came, and he was getting some extra yards along that line, so the streak player had to go ahead and pop him there. So I thought that was a good no call. And, you know, it kind of had the look of like maybe they were faking that punt, but you don't do a fake punt when it's 4th and 25, maybe when it's 4th and 5, but that's just almost impossible to get that kind of yardage.
Well, how many short snaps have we seen the center make tonight? So I don't think that was intentional at all.
I really thought he would have still had time to get that kick off, but he just kind of panicked and took off with it.
Streaks have had a nice rush tonight on special teams. Had it not been for a penalty earlier, they would have had one deep. Swing pass to the near side, caught by Michael Moss into manual territory, bounces off a man, escapes a tackle inside the 45, close to the first down, taken down at the 41.
And a very frustrated E.J. Myler from Manuel because he read that play. He saw the disguise, the fake handoff to Holloway going towards the far side, and then the screen pass over here to Moss. Myler came right up there, was in great position, but then didn't make the tackle. All he grabbed was air. Moss goes on, and Myler's left pounding the ground, thinking of what could have been.
Second and less than a yard for the Silver Streaks. Isaacs into Holloway, hole across the right side, first down and more. Finally tackled inside the 30-yard line where he's finally dropped. And it goes as a gain of 11 more, and Ben Holloway chewing up the yards. 9 carries for 63, including a touchdown. J.J. Range, 8 carries for 53. And quickly, the Silver Streaks come to the line, set to run another play. First down, inside the manual, 30. Isaacson under center. Hand off Range, hole across the left side, 25, 20, bounces off a man, and a flag down as J.J.'s brought down right at the 20-yard line.
Flag,
let's see what this is.
Way behind the play.
Sure is.
Part of me thinks there's some penalties out there, and part of me thinks we've just got a flag-happy crew out here tonight. These guys are...
This one's going to go against Galesburg, so it'll negate J.J.'s run.
Too bad. It's a good run.
It was. Great job by the offensive line tonight. Not many times this year have we seen the Silver Streaks have a strength advantage at the line of scrimmage. Might be even. Silver Streaks, with so many players going both ways, have tended to get worn down throughout the game as it's gone. Manuel's had that problem as well, but nice to see them come out and dominate at the line here in the early going, leading 21-0 with under 10 minutes to go first half.
Yeah, that adage about the defense getting worn down, it doesn't really apply tonight because you're right, Brad, both teams have the majority of their teams going both ways, so whether you're offense or defense, you're still on the field most of the night.
First and 20, Range again and tackled from behind. Just across the line of scrimmage, J.J. will pick up one on first down. It looks like it was Mirzetz who got in on the tackle again.
And Basil McLean in there again. McLean's, he's a ton. He's been in on just about everything tackle-wise along the line of scrimmage. Big kid, too, at 6'3", 260. I would guess he'll be one of the few manual players to end up Mid-State All-Conference this year.
Hand off to Holloway. Good lead blockers. Escapes a tackle. Works his way across the 35. Down inside to the 25-yard line before stacked up there. And brought down right at the 25-yard line. Silver Streaks back inside the original line of scrimmage. That's going to bring up 3rd and 6 here. Nice run by Ben.
And certainly 2-down territory as well. So you figure you got 2 chances to make the 6 yards you need. Doing well on the ground, but you might think about putting this thing in the air a little bit here. We've had some success there as well tonight. Peyton Isaacson still barking out signals after he gets the play in from the sideline. And there's some confusion, and now he's just going to have to call a timeout.
So with 8:35 to go here in this first half, Silver Streaks leading 21-0. Gillsburg uses its second timeout. Some more scores. Anawan Weathersfield now leading United 19-0 at halftime. Rock Island's added a touchdown or maybe two field goals. Probably a touchdown, leading Alleman now 13-0. North Fulton trailing South Fulton 21-16 at the half.
Yeah, that Rock Island score, that's tough for Alleman. I would think if they've got to be the next team to score in that game, if they get down 20-21, pretty hard to see them coming back against Rock Island. Alleman's strength is still predominantly in their defense, and so they need to get something on the board if they're going to win that, what is probably the Western Big Six championship
yep.
game.
We'll see the Rocks next week at home at Van Dyke Field. Final home game ever for the Silver Streaks at Van Dyke, and probably the toughest team on the schedule to end our run at the home field. A-Town leads Peoria Heights 54-0 at halftime. Here it's Galesburg 21, Manuel nothing. 8:35 to go, coming out of the Galesburg timeout. Here before halftime, 3rd and 6. Hand off to Range. Not much running room, but he finds positive yardage inside the 25, down to the 21. As Jim mentioned, 2-down territory likely, as the Streaks face 4th and 2 here.
Coming up at halftime, we'll talk a little different kind of football, soccer. Philip Reddington, head coach of the Galesburg Silver Streaks boys soccer team. They're a couple of weeks away from the postseason. We'll find out his thoughts on the Silver Streaks soccer club at halftime.
4th and 2. Isaacson looks to the sideline. Change in plays here. Out of the pistol with Holloway lined up behind him. Just outside the manual 20. Hand off to Holloway. Got room.
Nice,
got
nice.
The first down. Inside the 15-yard line. Another positive gain for the Silver Streaks. Big fourth down conversion. And the drive continues to the manual 13.
Love what the right side of that offensive line did that time. You had Ojeda, Curtis over there. Of course, Hawkins in the center spot. And not to take anything away from Ben Holloway, but that was one of those few plays that, Brad, you and I could have made 5 yards out of that. There was enough opening there. Holloway had plenty of room to run.
8 might be generous.
I said 5.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'd be out of gas after 5.
I'd have gotten 2, maybe. Silver Streaks only needed 2, and now we got both sides pointing to each other as 3 flags fly. The Streaks were the first one to point. Manuel pointed at Galesburg, but Galesburg pointed first, so let's call us against the Rams. You're right. We've seen a ton of flags tonight. 7:37 to go before halftime. Now Galesburg's walking backwards again.
Yeah, just some crews are predisposed to be a little more picky out there, and I think we ran into a pretty picky crew, but I guess we can't argue with the way things are going. A 21-0 game. False start on the Silver Streaks.
7th penalty of the night. We haven't had 7 penalties in a game all year called on Galesburg. So 7th penalty of the night against Galesburg, 3 against the Rams. Galesburg came in, penalized only 27 times in the first 5 games. So that's less than 5, or about 5 a game.
Interested to get Coach Doherty's thoughts on that at halftime with the penalties, whether he agrees with all of them that are being called. Probably be a little chippy toward his team in that regard, but otherwise he's got to be pretty happy.
Isaacson looking end zone, but it's going to be empty as Ferguson cut to the outside,
yeah.
And I don't know if that's a misread or
I think so.
On Isaacson or if it's Ferguson running the wrong route, but Isaacson was going more directly toward the end zone, and Ferguson ran to the outside. Either way, it falls incomplete, 2nd and 15.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't what Peyton was expecting Ferguson to do, because he let that ball put a lot of air underneath it, as he is to be expecting Ferguson to run under it. But Jake had cut toward the outside, and that ball just fell in no man's land in the end zone.
First incompletion of the night for Peyton Isaacson. He has 67 yards through the air. 1 quarter gone in the Richwoods United Township game, and the Knights lead 12-0 there. 7:21 to go here.
Delay.
Yep, not sure what the discussion is here. Referee standing in the middle at the line of scrimmage. Now he comes out of there and blows the whistle, so we can run a play here.
With this officiating crew, it's impossible to run the hurry-up offense. Just stopping it all the time.
Coming under center, Isaacson, Manuel. Hinting at a blitz. Instead goes as a handoff right side. Myler's first carry. Nice charged run inside the 10-yard line. Myler's second carry of the season, and he showed a nice burst of energy with that one. And it'll bring up 3rd and about 6.
Nick doing some good things on defense earlier tonight. Now he's getting into the action on offense.
That one goes as a gain of 9, down to the manual 9. Hand off to the right side. Myler again trying to get
yes.
to the pylon, and he got it.
Good work by Myler. He got hit at the 2 and was able to drag his tackler into the end zone, just breaking the corner of the plane just in front of the pylon. Heck of an effort by Myler to get that thing pushed on in.
That was. So Myler, only his third carry of the season. And he gets a touchdown out of it, and the Silver Streaks now lead the Rams 27-0. 6:52 to go here in this first half. Longest drive the Streaks have had tonight in terms of the time that it took. And one of the shorter drives in terms of the distance that they covered. 50 yards. The extra point is good. 28-0 Galesburg. Looking to snap a two-game losing streak. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Picture this. Your car's been damaged in an accident. You feel upset. So imagine walking into our office to this.
I'm not sure that shaking my maracas around the office is going to make anyone's car woes any better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
A 9-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks covers 50 yards. And Galesburg takes just under 4 minutes off the clock, 3 minutes 58 seconds. Nick Myler with a 9-yard touchdown run. 28-0, 6:52 to go in the first half.
You know, it's interesting, the Silver Streaks making shorter work of the Rams than a couple of the more powerful teams they've played struggled with Manuel for a little bit early in the ball game, but that sure has not been the case here tonight for the Silver Streaks.
Galesburg has scored on every possession. Streaks go with a short kick, and it's Powell who takes it, and wrapped up by two Silver Streaks defenders, then a couple more pile on at the end, and Powell has no chance to return that one for the Rams, and they'll have it at their own 37,
Andrew
with
Barnes
6:48 to go.
And J.J. Range double-teaming. Well, the first two there, as you said, there were a bunch of other white jerseys showed up for the party as well, but Barnes and Range, the first ones there to subdue the ball carrier, and Streaks have, outside of those penalties, have had everything going their way here tonight.
Well, you know, Andrew Barnes is looking to put a lick on a few people because here's a kid who was just really starting to come into his own at the linebacker spot last year when he injured his knee and had to sit out the rest of the season, then sat out the first three games of this year and looking to get some more playing time in the final half of his season. He put a big lick on there, and there's another stuffed play in the backfield as Powell goes nowhere. Aaron Boffman makes the initial stop. Hawkins finishes him off. It's a loss of two.
It just doesn't seem like Manuel gets off the ball very quickly. Once they get it, there's not that initial burst. And so the Silver Streaks able to make an adjustment up front and just eating up the manual running attack right now.
They've had eight plays on the ground. Three of them have gone for negative yardage. That's not a good percentage. Two wideouts to the near side. Two to the top. Two to the left side. Powell is a single setback. Lined up next to Sierra. Short drop pass across the middle of the field. And it's caught by the tight end, Leroy Smith. Got the big frame up there and a first down for the Rams across the 50 to the Manuel 47.
Smith got up over the top of Jake Ferguson to pull that down. Finally, Holloway drags him down from behind by the ankles before he can make a big gain out of it. Manuel at the Galesburg 47.
Gain of 15, second pass completion of the night for Marcus Sierra. So back into Galesburg territory they go, but Manuel has hurt themselves, including a couple of fumbles. Sierra in the backfield, under pressure, still on his feet,
on,
but
guys,
going backwards, and finally finished off back in Galesburg territory at the 46-yard line as several white jerseys hit the turf down below us on the Manuel sideline. And Sierra slow to get up. In fact, he's the last one to get up, helped up by his teammate Smith.
Well, a valiant effort. About two-thirds of the Galesburg defense had a shot at him. They just kept bouncing him, pushing him backwards and backwards. In fact, man, Barnes' helmet came off. It rolled over into the Manuel sideline as he was pursuing the quarterback. And finally, they got him down for that loss. And now a second and, boy.
They lost seven. It'll be second and 17. So another play for negative yardage comes after the big pass play that Sierra just found Smith on the completion.
Not that I want Manuel to throw on every down because it'd take forever, but that may be their best option because they can't do anything in the running game right now. They're throwing here.
Alone in the backfield. Sierra rolling left. Good defense, or good help in the backfield, and the pass is complete back in Galesburg territory to Anton Ivy at 6'5". So he's finding his biggest targets on the field for completions, but still third and long coming up here as they get back to the original line of scrimmage for third and 10.
Tyler Podwyski played that really well, though. He let him go ahead and catch the pass. It was a short pass, and then he just made a good, sure, solid tackle. You know, you're looking at third and 17. You figure you can give up 7 yards as long as you hold contain there, and Podwyski did just that.
So they get the seven back that they just lost on the sack, and it's third and 10. Manuel has not converted yet on third down except for on a penalty. Rolling out to the near side, gets the pass away, and nice job batting the ball away by J.J. Range coming around from the backside, and he just knocked it away, and no chance for Ashford to come up with a completion.
Very athletic play by Range that time, coming up from behind, and then quickly comes around with that right arm and just swats the ball down before it gets to the intended receiver. That was about as well as you could defense a play.
So in Galesburg territory, does Manuel go for it here, down 4 touchdowns?
I would guess. You know, I don't know what they have to gain by punting it away because Galesburg, it doesn't matter where the ball's on the field. We've been going through them. So if I'm Manuel, I think I'm going to throw the ball down the field.
Silver Streaks have given up a horrible conversion rate, 71% on fourth downs. Back to pass. Sierra looks sideline, and again they go for the same connection, and this time it is caught, except the officials say Ashford was out of bounds.
Got maybe 1 foot down, but I think he would have been just a hair shy of the stick anyway. It's on the far side of the field. So the Streaks get it back. 4:40 to go before half. Let's see if we can't stick one more in and bump this lead up even higher.
I give J.J. credit on that one, too. He kind of backed away. He could tell, I think, that Ashford, being right on the sideline and really inside the first down marker. So J.J. stayed back, avoided any risk of a penalty, and it goes incomplete anyway. And the Silver Streaks take over. Good field position, their own 47. Handoff up the middle. Holloway runs into the line of scrimmage. Stopped just short of the 50. He'll gain 2 on first down. As the clock rolls, 4:30 and counting before halftime. And the Silver Streaks hoping to tack one more on, a 4-touchdown lead.
That was one of the few times that we've actually gone into the line and not come away with somewhat significant yardage. A lot of substitutions now as Moss comes back in. Darby goes out.
From the 49-yard line, just short of midfield. Second and a long 8 for the Silver Streaks. Isaacson with Holloway to his left. Fakes the handoff. Now flushed out of the pocket. Steps free. Looks downfield. Flag down in the backfield, but he throws it, and it's incomplete. Intended for Myler. Nice job defensively by Sierra downfield to get up. In fact, he was actually in front of Myler, so Myler really had to turn from offense to defense there to prevent the interception, but I think we're going to have a hold here anyway against Galesburg.
Sure was thrown in that territory, and I was surprised Peyton didn't just take off. He could have run for 10 yards easily on that, but, you know, sometimes that's not what the coach wants you to do. He wants you to let a play develop, and if you're going to throw the ball deep, sometimes you have to give your guy time to run that route. And so Peyton stuck with it. Unfortunately, somebody behind him was holding on to a jersey or holding on to something, because that's the call. We're going to mark off the yardage against the Silver Streaks.
This officiating crew talks to each other more than any I've seen in a long time.
Well, it's good that they're communicating. I'm just not sure they're all that certain about what they're doing sometimes.
So this takes it all the way back on the hold, I guess. They never really did give the official sign that I saw. Down to the Galesburg 35-yard line. So again, another big penalty against the Silver Streaks. So this takes it all the way back to... Now back to pass. Peyton Isaacson, a pass across the middle to Darby. Caught and then dropped immediately at the 50-yard line. Good tackle by Sierra. But Darby with a catch in stride gets Galesburg back into manual territory for a gain of 16 to the 49-yard line. And the Silver Streaks, much better chances here now on 3rd and 7.
That's the way you do it. Just try and get part of it back rather than going for everything at once. A nice, solid completion. Darby will stay in the game as the Streaks working towards the scoreboard so they know exactly what kind of time they've got left. Still plenty of time, 3:20 and counting before the half.
Third and seven, just across the 50. Fake pass on the bootleg, rolling out. Isaacson gets past his man. Now he will cut upfield. And at the first down marker, he runs sideways. Now into first down territory at the 40, flag. And a flag comes down. Isaacson still on his feet, down to the 30-yard line before he's finally taken down. And another flag flies from the sideline.
Good grief.
That was a tremendous run by Isaacson. He ran twice as far as the yardage he's actually going to get out of it. A gain of 19, but two flags down, and one certainly is going to be against the Silver Streaks. Not sure about the one on the far side, though.
Tell you what, if I'm playing at this point, I just take the shortest. I mean, it was a great effort by Isaacson, but any play that takes any amount of time at all, these guys are going to find a reason to throw a hanky out here. It's getting a little ridiculous. And so I will sort out the two flags that were thrown on that play and try and see where we're at.
Now, we're confident that the first flag was a hold.
Where it was thrown, yeah, or an illegal block or something, because that was where Isaacson was scrambling around. But, my gosh, these guys are either that or they're great officials. When other ones let stuff go, they hold your feet to the fire here. I don't know they're even going to give us any indication on that second flag, but the first one's going to mark us off 10 yards back inside the 50. Holding,
so
yep.
So instead of being at the manual 30, we're going to weigh all the way back in Galesburg territory, not as bad as it could have been, but still back at the 47-yard line. So a net loss of 23 when it's all said and done, and it brings up third and a long 10. Single setback formation, handoff to Range. Gets hit across the line of scrimmage. Falls forward to the manual 49-yard line. It'll bring up fourth down as Kyle Jackson gets credit for the tackle. And here comes third, and we'll call it a long 7 for the Silver Streaks.
Or fourth and 7.
I'm sorry, fourth and 7, right.
And I would guess your defense, you've got a lot of confidence in what they've done. You probably go ahead and go for it here, don't you?
Yep. You're in manual territory. You're leading by four touchdowns. And you're shutting him out. Now the Silver Streaks look toward the sideline. Peyton's going to back up a few steps, and he's going to pooch kick it. So the strategy here is try to get a quick three and out, but instead the ball rolls into the end zone. So instead of pinning Manuel down inside the 10 or maybe the 5, Rams will have it at the 20, and you turn it over to your defense with 2:12 to go in the first half and hope for a quick three and out, and you can get the ball back with a short field.
So a first punt, I think, wasn't it, tonight?
Yep.
We'd scored every other time we had the ball, and wouldn't for some penalty flags there, we would have scored again.
Yeah.
Now, I guess you can't say that definitively, but we were marching that direction after the first down and more on the long run by Isaacson that all got written off.
9 penalties on Galesburg tonight for 85 yards. And again, the Silver Streaks coming into tonight, 27 penalties in the first 5 games for 165 yards, so they have more than half as much penalty yardage tonight as they have had in the first 5 games. 2:12 to go before halftime. Still leading by 4 touchdowns. Quick pass by Sierra across the middle. And a nice catch by the big guy, Ivy, again. And a first down up to the 40-yard line, a gain of 20.
Fortunately, Ivy doesn't possess great speed. But he does seem to have pretty good hands and kind of lumbers up there through the middle before we brought him down.
He juggled that one a little when the ball came in. He didn't have total control of it, but he was so open on that quick hitter across the middle that he had time to bring the ball into the numbers. And as big as he is, Streaks got dragged a little bit before finally stopping him for the gain of 20. Two wideouts right and left. First down from the manual 40. Back to pass again. Sierra, another quick hitter to Smith across the middle. So he's going to the tight ends. Finally, the Streaks drag him down inside the 40-yard line. But another flag down at the middle of the field.
This one will probably come back.
Well, Galesburg's had plenty of big plays negated. Manuel finally going to have one called back. Manuel is looking like they're prepared to stay right where they are in terms of where the position of the ball is after the completion. And it's a chop block, personal foul against the Silver Streaks.
Huh. Well, I'm frustrated up here. I've got to think Coach Tim Doherty getting a little disgusted with the officiating. Again, if it's a personal foul, it's a personal foul. I don't want you to not call that against whoever, but it just becomes a little suspect when you throw this many flags and a half. I can't imagine there's that that many bad violations going on out there above and beyond any other football game you ever see.
And it's so uncharacteristic of what the Silver Streaks have done this year. So now the ball sitting at the Galesburg 20. Two pass plays for 20 and 25 yards and a 15-yard penalty. 10th penalty of the night on Galesburg for 100 yards.
Yeah, we were hoping to maybe get continuous clock in the second half of this one, but if Manuel scores here, that's going to make it kind of tough.
Swing pass to the far side, coming back for the reception to E.J. Myler, and it negates what could have been a bigger gain. Because it's a short gain of just 4. It'll be 2nd and 6 from the Galesburg 16-yard line.
You know, if I'm one of the Galesburg linebackers, I am just waiting in the wings because I've got to think they're going to go back, especially in this territory, to their big guy, Ivy, on a slant pass over the middle. And if you're expecting that and you wait in the weeds, you might be able to pick that thing off.
Two wideouts to the near side stacked up, Ashford and Smith. They're rolling that direction. Sierra looking that direction. Flushed out. Throws back toward the middle. And it's intercepted in the end zone by J.J. Range and then tackled immediately. Unfortunately, J.J. tried to come out of the end zone. And the Streaks are going to have the ball at the half-yard line. Otherwise, it would have been a touchback at the 20. Yeah, but he does prevent the score.
Right, right. That's the big thing. But if you're in the film room next week, you know, the coaches are going to say, J.J. If you catch the ball in the end zone, just stay there. It comes out to the 20. Because he really had no chance to return it for any amount of yardage. But, you know, sometimes your initial thing is, I got to go.
And the Streaks, unfortunately, are so deep here, I don't think Peyton can even take a knee and run out the final 35 seconds. They're actually going to have to run a play.
Yeah, and I don't suppose he even goes back into – usually he's kind of a off-center shotgun-type formation, but I think he just comes up right under center this time and bowls straight forward a play or two. One play would do it if Mango doesn't call a timeout with 35 seconds left. Unless, of course, there's a penalty, which there's every possibility of that in this one.
Just got to make sure you don't get sacked in the end zone. Peyton's just going to sneak it forward. Gets the ball, tucks down low, scrambles forward for looks like a gain of a couple. Streaks are going to be in no hurry to get up off the bottom of the pile here.
Well, apparently, I thought Manuel had taken a timeout because the clock did stop there briefly, but now it's going again. And
now everybody's kind of looking down there. What's going on? Somebody laying on somebody's leg the wrong way because nobody's moving. Some of the players were kind of standing over there looking down like they were watching, I don't know, an ant farm or something. But now they're finally up. And
it's about done.
Yep, everybody's heading toward the far end zone and a very successful first half for the Galesburg Silver Streaks in spite of the penalties. A 28-0 halftime lead over the winless Manuel Rams. Again, coming up at halftime, we're talking...
soccer.
Thank you. I was already a week ahead. I thought, no, it's not tennis. I knew that wasn't... soccer, boys soccer with Coach Phil Reddington. And we'll update you on scores from around the area. We'll talk things over with Streak coaching staff when we come back before halftime. 28-0 Streaks at the break. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Steak, how I yearn for you on this morning. My mouth waters for your delectable flavor. You put a fire in my belly that can only be described as full.
So a steak and egg biscuit, right?
Start your morning with one of McDonald's steak and egg sandwiches made with perfectly seasoned premium steak, a tasty egg, grilled onions, melted American cheese, and served on a toasty muffin or biscuit.
Come to me, my love.
The simple joy of delicious devotion. For a limited time at participating McDonald's.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
WGIL supports our community, one event at a time.
Hi, this is Becky Young with WGIL. If you're new to a nonprofit board of directors or want to delve deeper into the roles and responsibilities of serving on one, the Galesburg Community Foundation invites you to their workshop October 25th. Register by Friday, October 11th. Get more info at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and invested in the Galesburg community.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight tonight, lows of 68. Tomorrow, not as warm with showers and thunderstorms likely, highs of 76. Tomorrow night, still partly cloudy and much colder with a chance of showers in the evening, lows dropping down around 44. And finally, Sunday, partly sunny throughout the day and colder with highs only getting up to 58, overnight lows of 42. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 77 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with a halftime report.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football on WGIL, and time to turn our attention to Silver Streaks. Well, the other kind of football. They call it football over in Europe. It's soccer. And Philip Reddington, the head coach of the GHS soccer team, joins us. Philip, thanks for taking a few minutes. How are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to talk a little soccer. Now, I know from a one-loss standpoint, maybe your season not going as well as you'd hope, but you got a pretty young team. And, you know, we talked from last year. You graduated Drake Sykes and Tanner Laird. Of course, football fans familiar with what those kids were able to do, helping with the kicking and punting last year for Silver Streaks football. And they were big losses for you in soccer, too, weren't they?
Yeah, we lost quite a few key senior talent last year between those two and Jake Hannum in the goalposts. You know, it stepped up. Some young kids have had to step up this year, and they've done a good job. And I know our wins losses don't necessarily show it, but we have made big strides this year with a very, very young team.
Now, when I had talked with you a couple of weeks ago, and we said, well, we'll wait a little while until you get a full team back. I know you started with a few players that weren't able to go out. Are you pretty much 100% now?
Yeah, the last week and a half to 2 weeks, we've started to get players back through injury and team rule violations. There's been a few players that have had to sit out between those two, and it certainly makes a coach's beginning of the season interesting in selection for games. But they worked hard in practice, and you know, they've earned their spots back as they come back from injury and suspension.
Is it hard in soccer to integrate guys again, even though they may be talented, to kind of get the flow of the field that way?
Yeah, there's really, it's hard to compare a practice to a game in the sense we as coaches try to, you know, put the practice and games into the similar stature, similar composure and speed, and you know, stepping out on a varsity field for a varsity game is just not the same, even in a practice.
Now, you did get a win over Alleman there. I think he had four goals from Ian Smith. He had a lot of fun that day, it looked
like.
Oh,
yeah, that was a good game. That was actually our first game with everyone back. Mm-hmm. And it just everything clicked that was happening in practice, and we executed both offensively and defensively very well that day.
Since that time, let's see, you dropped a 3-1 game to Metamora, I believe, and Rocky hit you pretty good the other day,
well,
didn't they?
Yeah, the Rocky game, we just didn't show up to play. It's really simple. We've been competitive with the exception of maybe two or three games all year with everybody. Even being a young team and going against kids that have a foot on most players on our team and have 40, 50 pounds of muscle on players, we've been competitive. And you know, the Rocky game, we just didn't show up to play from the start, and it showed throughout the course of the game.
You know, and listeners might say, well, how do kids not show up to play a game? I mean, they physically were there, but coaches in every sport go through this, whatever, even Major League Baseball. They say, oh, the guys just weren't there today. Coaches have been trying to figure out how to keep that from happening forever, haven't they?
I've coached now for almost, you know, 13, 14 years between little kids all the way up through high school and some college players, and every team has one once a year where they just don't show up, and no matter what the sport is, and it's truly the special teams that can avoid those situations. And you know, unfortunately, it was a game that we could have definitely been competitive/winnable game, and we just didn't show up from the get-go, and it felt like quicksand that day. Each one that went in, it got a little bit worse, and I was certainly happy to get through it without any additional injury or, you know, attitudes or anything like that. The players handled it well after the game, and they bounced back and had a good practice yesterday in an effort to it.
Good. Now, as far as going forward, not a whole lot of the regular season left, is there?
Oh, we have seven games
still
left.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got about a third of our regular season schedule left. It flies by these last couple weeks between three of them at a tournament in Jacksonville next weekend. We still have Quincy in the Big Six to play, and then Monmouth tonight, which is a big game for Monmouth and us being so close. A lot of players know each other.
Mm-hmm. A little bragging rights game there.
Oh, it always is. Yeah.
What are the things that you feel that this team, not only this year, but then going forward, needs to, what steps do you need to take to be able to be able to compete with some of the really good teams in the area?
It's really going to take, as we move into this transition of playing year-round soccer. You look at Moline's and the East Moline's and the Quincy's, and those players, a good portion of them, play year-round soccer, whether it be an indoor or club soccer in the spring. And really to take that next step in transition, as I took over the program, was to get the kids in the weight room and lifting, and then get the kids playing in the winter and indoor, whether it be with us locally once or twice a week to maybe traveling to Monmouth and playing in their league or Peoria in their league, and then continue into the spring. And the more kids that we can see getting touching soccer balls year round, will elevate our program to the heights that we can contest each year.
Yeah, well, and that's where you get into, as much as you hate it, sometimes there's competition even within schools for some of the athletes, because a lot of times a guy that's good in one sport is good in two or three sports. And the way the competition, as you mentioned, is anymore, it almost has to be a year-round thing. I know you mentioned Ethan Meeker was a really good soccer player. Well, he's a excellent basketball player, too, and has kind of devoted himself to that. And so, it's really a tough situation, yeah, isn't it?
It is a tough situation, and I can't fault anyone for picking and choosing a sport that's their passion. We had Ethan, when he was young, with Darius Sammons and Joe Anderson and Ian Smith and all those sophomores playing together. And they all play basketball, too, together. So I encourage kids to play multiple sports. I really do at the end of the day. But it's the players that aren't doing a sport in those seasons that we got to get out and doing something, keep them active. It keeps them together. It keeps them unified. And you build more of a family environment with a team as opposed to, oh, it's soccer season. It just keeps the family move going. So
I know for a number of years when we first started going down and doing football games with Quincy, the thing was we always said, well, Quincy will never have a good football team because it's a soccer school. They've always had great soccer. Well, finally, their football has gotten to where they win some games. But for a long time, the schools sometimes get known for a specific sport, and then it's up to the other sports to try and catch up, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And, Peoria Notre Dame's another good instance for that. They've had a wonderful soccer program for 25 years, and now they've really come a long way in football, and we saw that. But Quincy's the same way. They've always been a soccer powerhouse, and they have a wonderful club program down there that keep their kids active in multiple sports and keep them motivated to keep trying. It's a numbers game, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. Quincy, they have four teams in soccer, and being able to play that percentage and numbers game goes a long way.
You're talking a 7A school down at Quincy. So, yeah.
And our numbers are bouncing back. We have one small class in the senior class. I only have four seniors in the program, which certainly bodes well for the future. It's a lot of kids returning for the next couple years in the program, and we'll go from there, but it certainly shows in a numbers game.
Mm-hmm. How about going forward? Are there any kids in the program now that have aspirations to play or get a scholarship in soccer in college? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I take time to talk with all the varsity members, both juniors and seniors, throughout the year, and make sure they're on track to be prepared to go to college and make sure that we're helping them as much as possible to make the next step. And there are a few players that have those aspirations. Kevin Quintanilla is a senior. He's really hoping to be able to go to college and play somewhere, whether it be walk-on or maybe a junior college as a scholarship. And there's a few juniors that would like to as well.
Mm-hmm. How about your assistant coaches? Who's helping you this year, Phil?
Tony Miller's back with us again. Coached more years than I can care to remember. He actually coached me when I was a freshman in high school.
Well, that's
got
to be fun.
It's fun. We can remember stories from back then together, but me as the kid being coached by Tony. And then Leo Arvatu joined us for the first year. Brad Gross took the golf job for girls golf, and Leo Arvatu comes to us from a wealth of experience, played over in Europe when he was a younger kid. He's actually from Romania, and he's got a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, well, and finally, you mentioned Europe, and there are some language barriers sometimes in soccer. You've got some kids that speak foreign languages, right?
Oh, yeah. This is actually not a first for me, but it has been new this year. I have seven fluent Spanish-speaking players, and we have three or four fluent French-speaking players this year.
Amazing.
So Leo has helped out immensely in the French-speaking world, and Kevin has certainly helped me from a Spanish-speaking standpoint of translating when the seven Spanish players get going.
And do I remember right, you said you took French in school?
I did take French in school, and it's starting to come back to me. I would say it's like riding a bike, but it's not. I've had to go back to the book, and I've actually gone back now and done some of the Rosetta Stone stuff to catch up on Spanish, to at least start to communicate on a language barrier level to some of my younger Spanish and French-speaking players.
Yeah, so who knew at the time you're taking French it might come in handy again someday?
I said for years, there's no way I'll ever use this later in life, and now it's come back, centerfold. So
that's a neat story. Our time just about up here at halftime of Silver Streaks football, and best of luck, Philip. I hope that you continue to have a good season here, get a couple more wins as you head down the stretch, and you develop that program, and mostly I say just just have the kids have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, they'll continue to have a lot of fun, and I certainly appreciate the time here speaking with you, and we're looking forward to finishing the season strong with a few wins on the board as we move into playoffs.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
All right, thank you very much.
Philip Reddington, he's the head coach of the Galesburg Silver Streak soccer team here on WGIL, where we'll be back with more of the Halftime Report on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL and WGIL.com.
Celebrating 75 years as Galesburg's radio station.
WGIL. Radio 14.
Local news now.
An important day for Galesburg. That's how Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard described today's groundbreaking for the new $12 million seminary and Kellogg Street overpass project. Construction actually started last month and will be complete by the end of November of 2014. Pritchard praised two people for being what he called the primary movers on the project, State Representative Don Moffitt and Governor Pat Quinn. The state capital construction program is paying for the work, something Moffitt says Quinn worked on right away when becoming governor. With a projected $2.2 million deficit facing the city of Galesburg, city manager Todd Thompson has proposed staff reductions as part of a way to deal with the situation. The Galesburg City Council has been hearing about the deficit, but according to a city memo, the city's department heads have been looking for ways to bridge that shortfall. Thompson says that he attempted to target positions that would cause the least impact to city services. The staff reductions would not go into effect until the budget is adopted. I'm Tyler Maffitt. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Pam Puso. There's lots of talk about ending a government shutdown, but after 4 days, it hasn't happened yet.
Both sides seem to be really locked in right now. It doesn't seem like anything is going to move until there is some dramatic event. It's almost like, you know, there's a dam, and you have all these logs that might at some point pile up against the dam, but that's not happening yet. You talk to Democrats, you talk to Republicans. They are all very comfortable with their positions right now. They all want to open up the government, and they say that publicly, but there's nothing to move the position.
Fox News Radio's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill. Despite Democratic demands to fund all of the government, House Republicans have been passing individual spending bills.
The yeas are 247 and the nays are 164. The joint resolution is passed.
That one to fund FEMA as a tropical storm threatens the Gulf. Both chambers of Congress will be in session tomorrow. This is a Fox News alert.
Never miss the action.
Slides left, throwing, back shoulder throw, Martellus Bennett, 2-1, end zone, touchdown Bears! We are tied at Soldier Field!
The Bears lurk to get back on track against the tough Saints.
Hi, this is Jeff Joniak. Pre-game coverage of the Chicago Bears begins at 11:30, Sunday morning on the Laser.
Your home for the Chicago Bears in West Central Illinois is 92.7 FM, the Laser.
Help celebrate WGIL's 75th anniversary. Purchase a pound of WGIL's 75th anniversary Diamond Blend Coffee at Innkeepers this month, and 10% off the proceeds will go to Fish. Details at WGIL.com.
Halftime here at Peoria Public School Stadium with a very successful first two quarters for the Galesburg Silver Streaks, leading the Manual Rams 28-0. Story of the night for Galesburg, if you're looking for a negative, you don't have to look very far. 10 penalties for 100 yards. And yet, despite that, they still shut out the Rams in the first half and lead by 4 touchdowns, 28-0. So let's go ahead and run through some scores. First of all, in the Western Big Six, at last check, Rock Island leading Alleman 13-0 at halftime in what most likely is the championship game in the Western Big Six. And it is the only Western Big Six conference game of the night. Other teams in action: Quincy at home, leading Peoria Central 25-14. In the second quarter, it's Richwoods over United Township 26-3. And Peoria Notre Dame having its way with Moline tonight, 34-7 at halftime. And again here tonight, Galesburg leading Manual 28-0. Elsewhere around the area, in one of the biggest games maybe in the entire state, not just in our area, it's Mercer County over Stark County 14-10 in the third quarter. Mid-County's lead has dwindled, but they're still hanging on, leading Ridgewood 20-14 that game in the fourth quarter. Monmouth-Roseville has come back to take a 14-8 lead over Pittsfield-Griggsville-Perry in the third quarter. Elsewhere, Geneseo shutting out Ottawa 21-0. Spring Valley Hall over Sherrard, and Orion leading Kewaunee, both of those scores by 7-0 scores. And at last check at halftime, United trailed Anawan-Wethersfield 19-0. Also at the half, South Fulton over North Fulton, 21-16. Jim Lee is down on the field, but looks like we're not going to get an interview, at least with the head coach, just yet. The team's huddling up. We've still got nearly 2 minutes to go before the end of halftime here, but looks like the teams are going to head back to the sideline and huddle up and get squared away for the second half. Now Jim's found Coach Tim Doherty, who's getting an explanation from the officials, and Jim shrugging his shoulders. Let's go down. Let's see if we can get a word with the head coach or not. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, thanks, Brad. Coach, obviously a really good first half. Only had to punt the ball one time. Your line did a great job, moved it well.
Yeah, we did. You know, we just have to, you know, put another half together. We've been preaching 48 minutes, and that's our goal right now. And I think, you know, kids came out focused on both sides of the ball. But, you know, we got to finish this.
Game really lost some momentum there, at least from where we're at. Seems like the officiating crew's a little flag happy. Did you feel like we earned all those flags in the first half?
I got to look at it on film, you know. So take a look at it.
Get a couple of scores. We could get out of here continuous clock. I suppose your job is just to make sure the guys play as hard in the second half as they did the first time.
No question. You know, we just haven't put four quarters together, and that's my focus right now, and hopefully the boys too. So that's our goal.
Yep. Looks like they got to be having fun. They got a little spring in their step.
Yep, you bet. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Well, thanks, as always, to Tim Doherty for joining us at halftime for a few words, and sounds like he's just as, well, if not frustrated, perplexed by all the penalties against the Silver Streaks tonight. Again, coming into the game, Galesburg had been flagged only 27 times in the first five games, but 10 times flags been thrown against them tonight. Mercer County leading Stark County 14-10, starting the fourth quarter there. Mid County has added a touchdown, but so is Ridgewood. It's still 28-20 Mid County in the fourth quarter. And Peoria Notre Dame has added another touchdown. They now lead Moline 41-7 in the third quarter. Our thanks to Ted Bevenauer, Brian Prescott for keeping us updated on scores from around the area so we can keep you updated as well throughout the evening here tonight. We'll run through some statistics as we get ready to kick off the second half here. And obviously with a 28-0 lead, pretty much all in favor of the Silver Streaks. They held Manuel to just 20 yards rushing on 11 carries. Manuel did pick up 74 yards through the air, but Galesburg also had two interceptions. Marcus Sierra, 6 of 11 passing with two interceptions and those 74 yards. The kickoff taken off the ground by Justin Ashford and wrapped up and dropped hard across the 25-yard line as Ben Holloway sprinted downfield and just put a lick on Justin Ashford. And Silver Streaks, at least out of special teams, look very energized coming out to start the second half and maybe trying to send an early message here. If Galesburg can get a quick turnover, then they could really, really knock this one out early, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that to Coach Doherty, and I said about the continuous clock, and he looked down at his watch, and I think he thought, that's a pretty good idea. So hopefully I planted that seed, and the guys can carry through on it.
I saw him glance down at the watch. I didn't know if he was checking the time or what exactly he was doing. Instinct when you talk about something like that. All right, two wideouts. They go direct snap to Powell, the quarterback. It catches the Silver Streaks off guard. He picks up 7 on first down, taken down just short of the 35-yard line.
I didn't realize it was Manuel's homecoming until they started the halftime festivities.
Right, I didn't either.
It was one of those where they brought out, 10 or 12 kids on the field and then didn't announce the king or queen until, the public address announcer announced it. So it was kind of like a beauty pageant where you don't know, and all of a sudden, wow, here comes the crown. The king and queen are out there on the field.
Powell's biggest gain of the night for 8 yards. He's got five carries for 4 yards now. Back to pass on second and two. Sierra to the far side of the field. Too high over E.J. Myler. It falls incomplete, and it'll bring up third and two. Manuel 0 for 4 on third downs in the first half.
And, you know, I don't care whether it's high school, college, pro, what, junior league, what have you. I don't understand how you get 8 yards on a run on first down and then throw on second down. When you're down 28 points, you know. I mean, first downs are kind of important. Now you put yourself in a, you know, where even if you got a yard and a half, you got almost a sure first down. Now they got third and, you know, probably a long two, short three.
Dan Fowler did say in the pregame, we're a passing team, and back to pass again. Sierra with a quick hitter across the middle to the tight end, Smith. And Ben Holloway is the one who finally makes the tackle, but not until Smith gets into Galesburg territory at the 49 for a gain of 17. Their first third down conversion of the night.
You know, most of their passing opportunities, they're trying some to the sidelines, but not getting much done there. But their passing yardage is coming when they're going across the middle. Of course, that's a little more dangerous place to throw it a lot of times, too. There's a few more bodies in there, but they've got the big targets to throw it high to.
Leroy Smith, three catches for 57 yards now as Sierra looks to cross 100 yards. If he can throw this one away, he's going to tuck it in and keep it and run out of bounds at the sideline at about the Galesburg 45. Picks up four.
Well, good speed by Christian Powers there for the Silver Streaks. If he doesn't possess that speed, quarterback's going to turn that up and probably get at least a first down, if not a little bit more, because two of the other defensive linemen were chasing him. They weren't going to catch him, but Powers had that good speed to force him out after a short gain.
Second and seven upcoming. Jim mentioned before you got all the way back up here, so you didn't hear this, Galesburg held Manuel to 20 yards rushing in the first half. 11 carries for 20 yards. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, ran it 27 times for 224 yards and three touchdowns. Ben Holloway, 12 carries for 141, including that long 64-yard touchdown run that was the second of the night. Again, the direct snap. This time it goes to Dracar Harris, who sprints forward close to the first down marker at the 40-yard line. It'll bring up third and one.
Jadavian Zarenge over there for the tackle for the Silver Streaks, saving the first down, keeping it third and short. Scores around the area continue to come in. Richwood's, yeah, they're beating United Township, but not destroying them. It's 26-10 at halftime. Peoria Notre Dame is destroying Moline 41-7.
Third and one for Manuel. Sierra with Harris lined up to his right. They do go traditional snap. He pump fakes, steps back, gets under pressure, does make the pass completion to Smith across the middle, and now breaks free. Downfield, touchdown.
Well, so much for our continuous clock as the Rams go to the air, and we don't get enough pass rush. Gives him too much time to look over the field, and shot off a cannon. He probably felt that one. Hopefully they don't score anymore. That about made us all jump out of the stands there.
That may bring down the press box over here. Felt the whole thing shake.
Yeah, this whole thing wouldn't take too much. But Manuel's on the board, and we're probably here for another hour plus now.
40-yard touchdown pass. The first down marker.
Two third down conversions
on the drive for the Manuel Rams, who cut into that Galesburg lead now. And as we said earlier, they don't kick extra points. They're going for two here. Rolling out to the near side. Now Sierra's going to tuck it in, sprints back, and crosses the goal line for the two-point conversion. It's 28-8 now with 9:58 to go in the third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg and by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Nebraska tomorrow at 10:30.
The Fighting Illini play here, Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Kickoff coming, 9:58 to go third quarter after Manuel scores on the opening possession. A low line drive kick across the middle of the field. Skids into the hands of Nick Myler at the 17. Bursting upfield, found a hole. Now he's across the hole, and two Rams converge on him and take him down across the 50 at the Manuel 47-yard line. Nice return by Nick Myler as he picks up 36 on the run back, and the Silver Streaks start this drive in Manuel territory.
Well, the best way to thwart any team's ideas of coming back is just to match them score for score when you've got a 28-point lead. The lead cut down to 20 there. Let's just take it right back down, reestablish this football game for Galesburg.
And let's not pick up any penalties. Would you agree that Coach Tim Doherty, if not frustrated, was certainly perplexed when you asked him about it, as confused as we were by all the penalties?
Yeah, said, well, we'll have to see the tape.
Isaacson ducks underneath. Looks like the ball might have got stripped out. It is a fumble.
I think
and
Holloway
a scramble
it.
For it.
Yeah, that ball was on the ground, and I think Holloway was the first one to pounce on it there. Right about the line of scrimmage.
You can see from up here, he's the bottom white jersey underneath the pile.
And that would have really given Manuel momentum if they would have got a fumble on the first play that we had from scrimmage. So heads-up play by Holloway to keep possession that time. Silver Streak second and 10 now. The ball at the 46 of Manuel.
First fumble of the night for the Silver Streaks, but they regain it. Manuel also had a couple fumbles earlier that they regained. Second and 10 now. Just outside the Rams 45. Handoff left, J.J. Range picks up one to the 45, and the Manuel defense was ready for that one. And the home crowd underneath us here on the Crow's Nest on the press box side starting to get a little louder, trying to get some momentum to shift here in this game with the Silver Streaks leading by 20.
Well, Mid-County was up 28 to nothing at one point. Their game is now 28 to 20. Let's hope that isn't our fate here. We were leading 28 nothing at the half. Manuel with the score, and the Streaks trying to get a first down. We're not going to get it. Range gets clobbered, and we're going to have to punt.
No gain. Kept it on the ground for three straight plays. Silver Streaks fumble and regain, and then pick up 1 yard on the next two carries. It is a final now. Mid-County defeats Ridgewood 28-20. I think that Abingdon-Avon game has gone final yet.
I think it was final after about the first 5 minutes. Maybe the score wasn't, but the outcome sure was.
They were ahead of Peoria High. I think it was 50 to nothing at halftime, wasn't it? All right, here's the punt. Empty downfield, and it doesn't take a manual roll, but it doesn't take a Galesburg roll either, as it just goes sideline, bounces at the 11, and then rolls sideways. So Streaks do pin Manuel fairly deep. They're actually going to spot it at the 12 with 8:08 to go. Silver Streaks took only a minute and 42 seconds off the clock.
Well, after their success throwing the ball, I can't imagine Manuel spending many more plays being down still 20, bothering to try and run it because they haven't had any success there all night. So it's going to be a long finish to this game, we're guessing, because when you throw it, you have a lot of incompletions. Stop the clock, and that's not all bad. If you're Manuel, you want the clock to slow down a little bit, but they're going to have to continue to complete some passes and avoid the interception. We had a couple of picks there in the first half. One of those at a key spot could really stall their momentum, too.
That is a final. A-Town beat Peoria Heights 54-0. Here's a pass to the far side, and it's incomplete, and I was concerned about another pass interference flag with Tyler Podwoyski. Looked like he was riding E.J. Myler a little bit from the backside, but it's incomplete, second down. Manuel has the ball spotted at its own 12-yard line. Again, Marcus Sierra, 6 of 11 with two interceptions in the first half, 2 for 3 now in the second half, for 57 additional yards and a touchdown. Got 131 yards passing on the night. Second and 10 from the 12. 8:04 to go. We're just underway here in the second half. Two wideouts to the near side, two to the far side, and an empty backfield for Sierra with Powell lining up in the slot. Rolling out to the near side, Sierra now throws it toward the sideline. It's caught by Smith, and a good low tackle made by J.J. Range right at the 20. They still pick up 8, and it'll be 3rd and 2.
Well, they put themselves in the same 3rd and 2 three times. That first drive, they converted twice, scored a touchdown this time, and they ran, or actually they threw on both of the occasions when they had that 3rd and 2, so got to figure we'll probably see that again here.
5 receptions for the tight end, Leroy Smith. He's over 100 yards now with 105 and a 40-yard touchdown. 28-8, Galesburg. Manuel trying to convert on 3rd and 2 here. Sierra rolling to the far side of the field.
Yep.
Flag down in the backfield, and it falls incomplete again. Another close play as Myler running right up the back of E.J. Myler. No flag thrown in that part of the field, and now the officials are talking with the Silver Streaks. Looks like a hold, and they're going to decide here whether or not to take the penalty or take the incompletion.
Yeah, somebody grabs Arenge's arm. I could see that when I was hoping they were going to flag that, and they did. I thought we might have got away with an early hit on the pass play down here. So
see, even we're expecting the flags to fly.
They
came down so much.
Yep. Every time you see anything that might be a flag.
Okay, so the penalty is declined, and the Silver Streaks force Manuel into 4th down now.
You know, and if that ball's out closer to midfield, I think you take that penalty, because they would be inclined to go for it, but I don't think they want to go for 4th and 2 on their own 20.
Well, and they're kicking into the wind, and they have not had very good snaps to the punter, who's had to step up for it a couple of times. Very soft lobbing snaps. That one's a little more direct to him, and he gets the punt away, but it's spinning awkwardly, and a short punt. bounces short of the 50 and then takes a manual roll, little hop across the 50. And the Silver Streaks still have good field position, just short of midfield at about the 46.
Yeah, I don't blame Holloway for wanting no part of that. That ball was spinning sideways. I don't know how you kick that ball to take that weird spin, but it's not one that would have been caught very easily, so just let that nestle there on the edge of the sideline, and the Streaks getting good field position after a defensive stop.
All right, Silver Streaks need to get their mojo back now on offense. Yep. They have punted the last two possessions. Start this drive from their own 45. Up there the middle, running room for Holloway. Runs into a couple of defenders, dives down inside the 45, close to the manual 40, and a good gain on first down of almost 15.
That looks more like what we saw in the first half.
They are going to spot it right at the manual 40, so it does go as a gain of 15.
The big clash of the small schools tonight, Mercer County and Stark County, third quarter, 14-10. The hosts in Aledo, Mercer County on top.
Holloway again and stopped short of the line of scrimmage and taken down for a loss of one. Only the second time tonight Holloway has been held for negative yardage. It'll bring up second and 11 from the manual 41. Best rushing night of the year for Ben Holloway. You might remember he started the season with 151 yards and three touchdowns against Moline. He's got 155 on the ground on 14 carries tonight. Streaks go to range, trying to get to the outside, and a good open field tackle as Landis Tolliver comes running in from the outside, wraps up J.J. at the midsection, takes him down as J.J. gets back to the 40. It'll be third and 10.
If we would have seen this manual team when the game started, this might have been a pretty competitive ball game tonight. This looks like a whole different team than what we saw in the first half. They're making tackles. They seem to be communicating out there, and playing the Streaks a lot tougher than they did in the first half.
Now, if the Silver Streaks don't get something going offensively, this one may become a more interesting game as the night goes along. Back to pass, Isaacson in the open flat on the far side, caught by Jake Ferguson, but two defenders stop him, a yard short of the first down marker, and let's see if the Streaks want to go for it on fourth and one, maybe two, but I think it's going to be closer to one at the 31.
Yeah, absolutely, because you punt this ball, good chance it goes in the end zone. You gain 10 or 11 yards, so undoubtedly go for it here.
Now they are going to put it at the manual 32.
Wow, good second effort.
And a second effort gets the Streaks across the 30-yard line by Ben Holloway for the first down. He was going to be stopped initially, but he keeps the legs pumping, and the Streaks move the chains.
Well, we talked about the guy in the first half, Basil McLean, their big defensive lineman, put a hit on Holloway. Somehow he was able to sneak away from the big guy, put his hand on the ground, and fall forward for the first down. What an effort by Holloway. And all the yards he's had tonight, that might have been the most impressive carry he had.
And the Streaks did it out of the no huddle. That kept Manuel's defense off balance just enough. A little swing pass to the outside, caught by Range. Oh, and a touchdown-saving tackle perhaps made as a dive at J.J. Range's ankles takes him down after the completion. Up to the 15-yard line, good for another first down.
Dracar Harris with the tackle, catching Range from the heels behind him, and Harris very slow to get up. He sat up, thought about it. Now he's laying back down on the field, and the official calls an injury timeout. He's over there by the Galesburg sideline, so the manual people will take a while to get across the field to tend to Dracar Harris.
Well, good. That'll give me a chance to catch up on my stat sheet here because Galesburg was getting a little too quick on the no huddle there. I wasn't getting everything written down like I needed to.
And give us a chance to again thank Galesburg Nissan for the transportation for tonight's game. Again, Galesburg Nissan providing our transportation to all the away Silver Streaks football and basketball games this year. Tonight driving in for the second week. We had not driven one of the Nissan Jukes, but we've been having fun with that. It's a gray model with probably silver, I guess would probably be a better description, with a black leather interior. It's got the, I love the backup camera. We put that to good use at Avani's, getting out of the parking lot there. And we even had a guy in tow tonight, Aaron Fry, joining us. And, I think he made use of the whole back seat. At 6'3", he stretched his legs out across the back seat, and we enjoyed the ride over here. And thanks again to Galesburg Nissan for the Nissan Juke. Stop by and take a look at that or one of the other great Nissan products near the Sandberg Mall on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Harris up, walking off the field under his own power. Looked like he was holding kind of the left side of his rib cage a little bit, but a couple of people talking to him on the sideline. He looks to be okay. All right, Galesburg after the 14-yard pass play to J.J. Range. First down for the manual 15. leading by 20, 440 and counting third quarter. Hand off to Holloway, trying to get to the outside, 10, 5, going for the corner, run out of bounds. Did he get inside the pylon? Yes. He did!
Two officials signal it, the one on the line and the one behind him. Both put their arms up. The testament to the speed of Holloway. Manuel thought they had that play fairly well defensed, but those short legs of Holloway just kept on a-churning, and he was able to turn that corner and just get inside the pylon. Streaks back up by four touchdowns.
15-yard touchdown run for Ben Holloway, his third touchdown run of the night to go along with a touchdown reception of 41 yards. And the Streaks now lead 34-8, 4:35 to go here in the third quarter. And that's much, much more reflective of what we saw from the Silver Streaks in the first two quarters. The snap is good. Podwoiski gets the hold down. The kick has the distance. It is the crossbar, and the Silver Streaks lead 35-8 with 4:35 to go in the third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
What is that noise? It's driving me crazy.
Honey, it's our power meter.
Please make it stop.
Put a stop to the clicking by calling Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today. With the installation of higher efficiency central air conditioners, hot water heaters, and furnaces, you can reduce your energy use and your power bill. And that sounds a lot better than... Find out more with a call to Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Be prepared for your repair. Sounds like the Scout motto.
Oh, I'm prepared, all right. To destroy this box of Thin Mints I just found in my desk.
A good scout always shares, you know.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
Peyton Isaacson with a short kick, taken on the run by Marcus Sierra, trying to field his way in a couple of openings, and he doesn't get far as the Silver Streaks mob him. Short of the 40-yard line, Manuel will have it at the Rams' 38-yard line. Coming off of the Galesburg scoring drive that covered 55 yards and 7 plays, Streaks took just 2 minutes, 34 seconds off the clock. Holloway with a 15-yard touchdown run, his third of the night. And after the extra point, Galesburg back on top, 35-8 now. Under 4.5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Well, as I mentioned to you at the break there, that was a great score, because I don't think we're in any danger of losing this ball game now. When it was just a 3-touchdown game, you started to wonder if they could mount a comeback. Probably won't get our continuous clock, but I can live with that as long as the Streaks continue to pick it up and play well here and finish this game as strongly as they started it.
And again, play that full fourth quarter, that full four quarters that Tim Doherty has talked about very often here in the last couple of weeks. You might remember a couple of weeks ago in the Richwoods game, it was tied at halftime. The Alleman game was tied at halftime. I said tight, not tied in the Richwoods game, but the Alleman game was tied at halftime. Galesburg was down 7 to Peoria Notre Dame at the half last week, and all of those games ended up strongly in the opposition's favor. Here tonight, Galesburg with a big lead at halftime, and he's looking to make sure it stays that way. And so far, a decent start to the second half.
Aaron Boffman with the tackles of that time. He's had a number of tackles tonight. Boffman's played a solid game up front.
Handoff up the middle. Sierra on the keeper. Oh, and he stopped, and that cost him because, yeah.
Woo. Andrew Barnes came up and did what linebackers do. Stopped your progress in a hurry.
Leveled him. The ball sitting right at the first down marker, and it is a first down. So Sierra knew where he had to get, and he got right to the 50. He should have gone a little bit farther. Andrew's hit on him might not have been quite so hard.
By the way, we just broke new ground in that touchdown. It's the first time we scored third quarter all season.
That's right. At the 50. Sierra in the backfield with Powell lined up next to him. The snap to Sierra. Looking downfield. He's going long and intended for Ashford downfield, but he overthrows it. He's got a nice arm. But a number of incompletions on overthrows tonight.
Yeah, that one was throwing into the breeze, so I thought that one might come back a little bit, but maybe he was adjusting for the breeze and put a little extra on it, cost him. It's not a big breeze, probably 10 or 12 miles an hour out of the south.
Mercer County wins the battle of the powerhouses, 14-10, and at least the score would indicate it was every bit of a game that we thought it would be.
those teams could see each other again in the playoffs. At least in the polls, they're listed as 2A and 1A, but you never know when they break things down in the postseason.
Sierra on a keeper, and he's flushed out of the pocket and scrambles, but does not get away from four Silver Streaks defenders, and he's dropped for a loss of a yard, maybe two, but back inside Manuel territory. Ball spotted short of the 50 at the 49. Third and 11. And again, more reminiscent of what we saw from the Silver Streaks now on the defensive side of the ball, as we indicated in the first half.
Must have had somebody gave him with a Snicker bar and said, you guys just aren't playing like yourselves here.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Those are clever commercials.
All right, third and 11, under 2.5 minutes to play in the third quarter. Two wideouts to each side. Sierra with the snap, rolling out to the near side, lost it downfield. Nice defense by Ben Holloway to go up and deflect it away from the taller Leroy Smith. And had Ben maybe a couple of inches taller, he might have even intercepted that one. Instead, he knocks it away, and it's incomplete.
I was laughing. I had that Snicker thing on my mind because we were out on Oneida yesterday and talking with the girls' golf team. And Lena Cargilla, who's their best golfer at the Lincoln Trail Conference meet over at Gibson Woods the other day, her first three holes, she had a 9, a 7, and a 7.
Oh, gosh.
And her coach said, that's just not her. And she was so distraught, he said, I couldn't console her. When her mom went and bought her a Snicker bar, brought it out, said, you're just not yourself. She's cracked up. That loosened up the whole thing, and then she finished with a good round after that.
Isn't that something?
That was a neat story.
Go for it on fourth down, passing to the far side of the field, and Sierra looking again for one of his big tight ends, Anton Ivy, but in double coverage, and he didn't really get his foot down to get as much into that pass as he might have. Still threw it well. But underthrown, falls incomplete, and the Streaks get it back on downs, and they're going to have it in Manuel territory at the 49.
And that was one of those, the ball's up in the air, and we're getting near it. I'm thinking, don't catch it. We don't want to intercept right. The ball because it's 30 yards down the field. Let's take it up here, and that's where we got it. Streaks will see if they can rumble towards the north end zone, get another score here. 2-11 in the third quarter and counting.
Four incompletions in his last five attempts for Marcus Sierra. Galesburg out of the I formation, handoff to Range. A little bit of a hole across right tackle, gets underneath, and finally it takes six black jerseys of the Manuel Rams after they stood J.J. up across the 45 to take him down. Gain of five, hard 5 yards on first down.
Well, so far this game has been more lopsided than many had imagined. I looked at the three picks in the Journal Star. I believe they all were picking Galesburg, but by anywhere from four to eight, maybe 10 points in this one. Not expecting the 27-point blowout that we have going right now, and maybe more on the way.
Left side handoff, Nick Myler dives forward for a gain of a couple more. It'll bring up third and three for the Silver Streaks. Should mention Fighting Illini football tomorrow.
Yes.
Finally into the Big Ten, and what a challenge it'll be. Off to Nebraska.
The good news is Nebraska does not have Martinez, their normal starting quarterback, for tomorrow, so that should prove beneficial for Illinois. I don't think it's a question of whether the Illini can score some points. They seem to be having a pretty good success on offense. It's just a matter of how many points they can keep Nebraska down to.
On third and two, J.J. Range, a hole across the right side into the Manuel secondary before he's finally stopped at the 30-yard line. A pickup of 11 more for J.J. Range, and the Streaks move the chains on third and two.
Another solid run by J.J. Range. Running game intact. And, again, we've mentioned Range and Holloway a lot, but they don't go anywhere without that front five up there doing a great job on the line. They're all taking a little rest here as the play slow coming in from the sidelines, but now Peyton Isaacson has it, barks the singles, points his receivers off left, and here we go.
Myler with a handoff, another hole right up the middle, breaks into the secondary, wrapped up from behind inside the 20, down close to the 15-yard line.
Not only a good run by Myler, but a good job of ball protection because the defender was trying to pull that ball out of there away from Myler. Myler would have none of it. It was number 15, Devontae Keaton, who was trying to rip it away. And as so often happens, when you're trying to pull a ball away from a guy who's running north-south, he's going to carry you a little bit and gain some extra yards. Myler probably picked up an extra five on that because the defender was more concerned about tackling the ball than he was about tackling the player.
Four carries for Nick Myler tonight, 36 yards and a touchdown. Hand off to Myler, trying to bounce to the outside, escapes two tackles, going for the corner, and a touchdown-saving tackle made from behind inside the 5-yard line by the little guy, Michael Sims, at just 5'8", but he takes Myler down inside the 5, down close to the 1-yard line.
Well, he may be the best discovery we've had tonight. We knew what we had in the other guys, but Myler with some good speed around the corner, running really hard. I thought he might end up in the end zone that time, as determined as he was. And now we go to the fourth quarter. We'll have to run it in on the other end.
Picks up 13. We'll walk it from one end of the field at the 2 to the other end. And the Silver Streaks take a 35-8 lead into the fourth quarter over Peoria Manual. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People make cracks about plumbers, pun intended. When you call a random plumber from the Yellow Pages, you have no idea who's coming to your home and what kind of experience they have. At Lambasio Incorporated, we pride ourselves on breaking the mold. When you call us, expect a clean and courteous professional to arrive at your door. You'll know you're getting a reputable local business with over 19 years of experience, and we can take care of all those plumbing problems, plus drain cleaning, septic, and heating and cooling.
Lambasio Incorporated is there. Big enough to do the job, small enough to...
Get moving!
We see a different kind of road rage at Bates.
People come in upset and angry because they may have done something dumb.
That's when we get to shine with our own patented brand of road rage relief.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision.
Have a nice day, buddy!
Out of collision.
Join me every weekday evening at 9 for the Jim Bohannon Show, right here on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Silver Streaks 12 minutes away from their first road victory of the season, and to snap a two-game losing streak, they lead Peoria Manual 35-8 and a first and goal at the Rams' 2-yard line as we get ready to start the second quarter. Apparently we're going to play a shorter quarter.
Looks like they're going to get Myler. He's the only man in the backfield. I think they want him to cross the goal line. Now we've got the officials.
Yeah, they're catching that there's only 10 minutes on the clock. That's a sophomore game. There should be 12 minutes.
When you said on the shorter quarter, I thought you were inferring we were going to end up getting the continuous clock, but they just didn't put enough time on the clock.
That's
everybody wants to get done.
Now they've got it set the right way. And the streaks will reset. West Central won its first game of the season, defeating Princeville on a safety.
Wow.
9-7. There's Myler. Gets down low, and there's the touchdown. Second touchdown run of the night for Nick Myler, who tucked that ball in and just barreled over a couple of defenders to finish off a six-play scoring drive and puts the streaks up now 41-8. And we're just inside the beginning of the fourth quarter. That took 2 seconds. Boy, Nick's fast.
Yeah, and strong on that run, too. And somehow they only gave us 1 point for the touchdown on the scoreboard. We're now at 36. Oh, now we're back up to 41.
Well, they had it at 41.
Well, they've got tenths of a second on this football scoreboard, which is unusual, and it's really kind of annoying because the last digit is flickering. And so you're constantly wondering what that's all about, but if you just look at the first four digits and forget the others, I guess you're all right.
The extra point attempt, Peyton Isaacson's kick has plenty of distance. It's inside the upright, and this time both officials standing there actually signal the extra point. Several times down there, we've seen one look at the other one, and only one of them makes the signal. So 42-8 Galesburg after the extra point. A six-play scoring drive covers 49 yards. Nick Myler finishes off the last two. He carried the ball four times out of the six plays. J.J. Range had the other two carries for 16 of the yards. And Nick Myler carried the ball for 33 yards of the 49. And he finishes it off with his second touchdown run of the night. No Cardinal baseball again until Sunday. They lost to the Pirates today. And that is another afternoon game, if I remember right, on Sunday, correct?
Yep, I believe 3. I want to think just after 3 o'clock for our pregame on that one.
Okay.
And so you can listen to the Bears on 92.7 FM, the Laser. Bears at noon against the Saints.
Should be a good one.
Hopefully. Packers and Lions figures to be a good one. Bears wishing both of those teams could somehow lose that game.
All right, ready to kick this one off. And we'll see what the Silver Streaks want to do personnel-wise for the rest of this fourth quarter, leading 42-8. We've played only 2 seconds of the fourth quarter. Sophomores lost tonight, 16-6. They are 0-6, and it looks like that's what Manuel is going to be when this one comes to an end. On a short hop, Manuel scoops it up. Justin, or rather, that's Sierra again, trying to cut to the near side. Hesitation drive and taken down by the ankles as the Silver Streaks' Tevin Taylor gets him.
Good job, Tevin. That could have been a long return if not for that ankle tackle.
Instead, Manuel will have it at the 35-yard line.
Now, you said Manuel should be 0-6 after this. If they're not, you're going down to talk to Coach Doherty because I'm not going to. Don't think that's going to happen.
I'm just considering the possibilities. I'll take my chance.
Yep.
All right, so looking down on the field, still see a number of the Silver Streaks first-teamers in there, at least for the time being. So I got Aaron Boffman out there. Mark Ojeda's out there. Yep, it's pretty much the first team defense still in. Manuel, of course, keeping their first team
fumble
in there. And a pitch play.
Got it.
On a shovel pass, and the Silver Streaks are going to pick it off.
What are they saying, incomplete pass? Well, I guess if it was a forward shovel.
If it was a shovel pass,
okay.
I think.
Yep, that's an incomplete pass.
Gage Miller dove forward and got it on the bounce.
Okay, I thought the guy had it and then just lost it, but I guess, what do they say in the NFL? You didn't exhibit a football move or some such craziness?
Because what other move would you kind of make on the field?
That's like when they got there for a while, they said, that's a nice golf shot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Anawan Weathersfield puts it to United. Final score there, 41-7. Sierra rolling out to the far side, giving chase. Now gets the pass away and up.
Woo!
And nearly picked off by Ben Holloway, and he bats it out of bounds, intended for Leroy Smith on the far side.
That was one of those I was talking about in the first half where you just hang around the receiver. You know, you don't want to tip your hand and stand in front of him. You want to bait that quarterback into throwing that ball, thinking he can squeeze it in there and then explode at the last second. And that's what Holloway did, just about picked that thing off.
Sierra completed 8 of his first 13 passes. 2 of the incompletions were interceptions. Since then, he has completed only 1 of his last 7 for a modest 8 yards. It brings up 3rd and 10 here from the Manuel 35-yard line. They are 2 for 8 on 3rd downs tonight, trailing the Silver Streaks 42-8. We have played just 22 seconds here in the 4th quarter as Manuel has gone to the passing game. And will do so again. With an empty backfield, under pressure, gets the pass away again, and it looked like J.J. might have deflected it, but it comes down as a completion to Leroy Smith on the far side of the field, and a first down for the Rams in Galesburg territory at the 47.
Yeah, Boffman chasing the quarterback from the backside, but wasn't able to quite get there in time, and they convert on the big first down play, move the chains into Galesburg territory.
A gain of 18 on that pass play, so I guess I shouldn't have said anything about how Sierra had completed so few passes in the last 10 minutes or so. 123 yards receiving for Leroy Smith tonight. From the Galesburg 47 on first down, direct snap in the pistol, rolling out to the near side. Sierra looking downfield, now throws across his body and overthrows everybody, including Nick Myler of the Silver Streaks, who was the closest there who could have come up with that one.
You know, and that's a tough throw for any quarterback at any level.
Throwing back across his body.
Yeah, when you're moving to your left that hard and then trying to put some zip on the ball, throwing it down the field, that takes a lot of shoulder power. And he got it down there pretty well, but got too much air under it.
10 for 19 passing tonight for 167 yards for Marcus Sierra, including a 40-yard touchdown pass, their only score of the night, to Leroy Smith on their opening drive here in the second half. Now Powell will line up next to Sierra in the pistol, and a direct snap to Powell. Avoids 2 Silver Streaks tackles, gets another lead block, and Powell with a first down inside the 35 to the 33-yard line.
Yeah, when Powell gets to rumbling, bumbling, and stumbling, he can be quite a load. He goes at 5'9", 200, so that's quite a bit of weight on a 5'9 frame, and pretty stocky, and he got another manual first down.
Prior to that, Ronald Powell had 6 carries for 7 yards tonight. That one went for 14. And it's a first down at the Galesburg 32.
Well, I'm probably dooming us to a finish of flags, but there have not been nearly the penalty flags dropped in the second half as we saw in that long first half.
Yeah, in fact, the only one I can think of here in the second half was the manual penalty that the Silver Streaks declined because it brought up fourth fourth down. No, third down, but third and deep. Back to pass, Sierra looking long, looking downfield. There's separation, but again, Sierra overthrows his man by about 5 yards. Justin Ashford, the intended receiver in the end zone, had broken free from the Silver Streak defenders who were still in pursuit, but incomplete, second down.
It's a good thing he's been overthrowing as much as he has tonight.
He's had some targets.
We'd have given up some more points by this point, but he's missed on a number of them. And that's all we really heard about Manuel coming in was, you know, overall as a team, a little thin in spots, but some good skill players. And I think Smith especially, the wideout, has had a standout night for them.
Second and 10 from the Galesburg 32. 10:26 to play in the game. Galesburg leading 42-8, looking for their third win of the season, a game that they had to win to stay alive in the playoff race. Sierra going to tuck it in. Now he'll throw it. There's and behind pressure. And deflected and intercepted by the Silver Streaks. He threw it behind Leroy Smith, who had to reach back with the arm. It went through his arms, and the Silver Streaks come away with the interception as Jake Ferguson picks it off.
Yep, couldn't see the number there for a minute, but it was number 13, Jake Ferguson, who gets it on the deflection. In the right place at the right time, but the Silver Streaks will take over if they can drive it down the field. We'll keep that clock moving the rest of the game, but we've got quite a ways to go. We need about, 80 or 75 yards.
Here spot it right at the 25, yep. Third interception of the night for Marcus Sierra. Holloway, Range, and now Jake Ferguson. Notre Dame defeats Moline 41-7. Struggles continue for the Maroons, their only win against United Township last week. Silver Streak starter still in the game. Isaacson with a handoff to a recharged Nick Myler, who picks up four on first down to the 29.
Looks like they are giving Holloway a break on offense. Myler taking his spot. Range will now come off for the play as well.
A lot of the linemen still in there, though.
An opportunity on that play because Manuel was short. Their 11th player was just running off the sidelines onto the field as we snapped the ball. So an opportunity to go 11-on-10 there, but they were able to make the tackle.
Right now the Silver Streaks put Christian Powers and Cody Wicksforth into the game. They'll split out wide to the near side. Isaacson stays in at quarterback with Myler behind him, who takes the handoff, bounces to the outside, trying to get free up the far side of the field to the 50. Cuts back in the middle and wrapped up and taken down from behind inside the Manuel 45-yard line to the 42. Well, before this thing's all said, and then Myler might have 100 yards on the ground.
It's just so fun to see this balance because for the first half of the season, it was Ben Holloway, and that was it out of the backfield, and now we've gotten Range going a little bit tonight, and Myler's emerging, and not to think that we're going to run like this next week against Rock Island.
What?
But it's fun to do it at least here tonight against Manuel.
Nick Myler, 8 carries for 84 yards tonight, and he's lined up again behind Isaacson at the Manuel 42, and gets another handoff, trying to find a hole across right tackle, into first down territory again, inside the 30, down to the 29.
They finally just had to bulldog him down. That's where you get beside a guy and just kind of grab his head and shove it towards the dirt because you can't really handle his body, so you just get beside him and ride him until you finally shove him down into the grass.
9 carries, 98 yards for Nick Myler now, who picked up another 14 there. From the Manuel 28, Silver Streaks trying to build on a 42-8 lead with 8:40 to go in the ballgame here at Peoria Public School Stadium. Hand off to Christian Powers, his first carry since the Moline game, the opening game of the season. And Powers picks up 3 down to the 25. Silver Streaks have taken it from their own 25 down to the Manuel 25 in just 4 plays.
So Myler got a break on that one. I'm guessing his number might get called here again, especially since he's the only one in the backfield with quarterback Peyton Isaacson.
Two wideouts to the near side, one to the top. Myler with a handoff, trying to bounce to the outside. He crosses 100 yards rushing down to the 20-yard line for a gain of 5 more, and it'll bring up 3rd and 2 for the Silver Streaks. Myler with 4 carries on this drive. All but 3 belong to Nick Myler.
Yeah, you didn't have to know a lot about football to see what was coming that time.
Here's what we're going to do. Stop us. And the line for the Silver Streaks has been terrific tonight, offensive and defensive. 7.5 minutes to go in the game. Silver Streaks on the move at the 20. Myler left, tries to cut back to the middle, and he's wrapped up and taken down right at the line of scrimmage. It'll be 4th and 2. Final from the Quad Cities as Rock Island takes control of the Western Big Six lead. They defeat Alleman 13-7. And that game, just as we anticipated with Mercer County, Stark County, not as good as we thought it would be.
Yep. And we figured Alleman and Rocky would probably be low scoring. Rocky gets out to a 13-0 lead. Alleman scores but can't get what they need to get over the top.
All right, on 4th and 2 for the Silver Streaks, out of the I formation, powers the lead blocker to Myler, cutting to the outside and wrapped up with a high tackle inside the 20. And that's going to be close.
Chains are clear on the other side of the field, but
it looks from this side like he came up about a half yard short.
They're trying to eyeball it.
Yep.
Yep. Came up short. They won't even measure. I tell you what, it's harder to eyeball here because from up here, I thought, well, maybe the crown of that field isn't quite as steep. And I went down there at halftime. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're running uphill. It's the highest crown on a field that, I mean, I've talked to some of our assistant coaches and stuff, too. They kind of laugh. It is the biggest hump in the middle of the field of anyone I've ever been on. I mean, you're really looking uphill there from the sidelines.
All right, so the Silver Streaks do not convert. Manuel takes over on downs. 6:48 to go in the game. And up the middle goes Powell. Biggest run of the night as he crosses.
And he probably runs
35-yard line.
80 yards for a touchdown, if not for Nick Myler. Myler reached out there with his arm and was able to knock him down when he was got ahead of steam going up the middle. I don't know anybody touches him if Myler doesn't get a piece of him there.
Gain of 22, so Powell just doubled his rushing total for the night. 6 carries, 7 yards, but his last 2 carries have been for 37 yards. He's got 44 on the night. Silver Streaks will be back home. Final game ever at Van Dyke Field. Scrambling in the backfield. Sierra under all kinds of pressure. And here comes Jake Ferguson and just wallops him up high. Just puts a bear hug on him and takes him down back for a loss of 5 at the 35.
Yeah, Ferguson getting congratulated by teammates after that big hit. I was a little scared he might have got a little face mask there. He tackled him so high, but no such flag thrown. Now, the first half they would have, but I think the officials had a conference at halftime and said, you know, we're just throwing too many flags. Let's have a chance to go out and eat after this before the restaurants are all closed.
And that'll happen in another 5 minutes and 35 seconds of game clock. 2nd and 15 for the Rams at their own 35-yard line. See if they go direct snap again. They do not. Sierra back to pass. Now under pressure as the rush is on. Steps past a man inside the 40-yard line and run out of bounds short of the 50. Looked like Ryan Darby got turned around a little bit. Gage Miller put the pressure on, and then Darby had his back turned. He was the guy who had the best shot at Sierra there. But it'll go as a gain of 15, and they don't even measure. They give the Rams a first down.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because Darby, he fought off his block and stood up, but the play was behind him. And as soon as he turned around, the quarterback just ran right by him. And Darby's probably going, man, if I'd have just known, all I had to do was stick my arm out there, but he didn't know what was coming.
Approaching the 5-minute mark of the game, another direct snap to Powell. Escapes Darby again in the backfield and now stacked up and run backwards as Aaron Boffman makes the initial stop. Two more white jerseys help finish him off, and Powell picks up what turns out to be a fairly short gain on first down of a couple of yards.
Powell's starting to rumble a little bit there, but then he ran into the arms of big number 78, Boffman, who slammed into the ground.
Check out the upset.
Upset, upset, upset.
As Farmington knocks off Elmwood Brimfield, 16-14.
They scored those two touchdowns in the first quarter and made it stand up. Again, Elmwood Brimfield, I know, playing without one of their top players. But still, that's a surprise.
And Knoxville takes advantage of it with a big win over Beardstown, 36-0. As a pass on the far side of the field is dropped by the Rams in open territory, and they just couldn't bring it in. It falls incomplete, bringing up 3rd and 8.
So potential for a three-way tie for the title there in that conference, that division, because Knoxville's already beaten Farmington. Now Farmington beats Elmwood Brimfield.
After Elmwood Brimfield beat Knoxville.
Right.
Third and eight for the Rams upcoming here. 4:21 to go in the game.
And all of those teams playoff eligible now with five wins.
And that's right. Rolling out Sierra to pass, throwing it downfield, overthrows everybody except Cody Wicksforth, but I don't think he brought it in before he stepped out of bounds for the interception.
Nope, he had assistant coach Mark Reed up there jumping up and down saying, not quite.
Well, at least as much as Mark Reed jumps up and down these days.
Yeah. Well, I saw him down there. I went to do the scouting report with Coach Washabon. Mark's the only guy in the stadium with long sleeves on tonight. I said, why in the world did you wear long sleeves? He just smiled and said, I'm just weird.
He can say that, but I'm not going to say that to his face.
Well, no. In fact, I reminded him. I said, you know, the last time I saw you standing down here by this end zone, you were just ripping the team. If you remember, we were here a couple of years ago, and we were awful in the first half. And he was in rare air. He just smiled and said, I'm too nice to do that.
That was against Peoria Central that year.
Oh, man, he was just livid.
Central with a tough game at Quincy tonight. Hoping to get a final on that one before we go. Those are a couple of potential playoff teams. There's a pass completion on the far side of the field to Justin Ashford as Sierra got the ball away backpedaling under pressure, and it goes as a first down inside the Galesburg 35. So a big fourth down conversion for Manuel there as they try to make the score a little more respectable here, down 42-8 with under 4 minutes to go in the game. From the Silver Streaks 35-yard line, Manuel breaks huddle.
United Township at least holding their own somewhat with Peoria Richwoods, 26-10. That was a game that I thought might get more out of hand, and I guess could still.
Rolling to the near side, Sierra under pressure, manages to escape one defender, throws it downfield. It's caught by Smith inside the 20-yard line, spun around, stacked up at the 15. And under pressure, Alec Marty got hit pretty good. He had a bead on Marcus Sierra, and when Sierra got the pass away, Marty got leveled by a manual defender. And a nice completion downfield to Smith goes as a gain of 20.
That's just like that play we talked earlier. He has to throw that across his body, rolling to his left, but the guy was just wide open, so he had a little room for error that time and got the big completion.
200 yards passing tonight for Marcus Sierra. And 143 yards receiving for Leroy Smith. As Ronald Powell carries the ball down to the 10-yard line for a gain of 5 more.
Yeah, Powell was kind of going inside, and then he thought he'd bounce outside, and then Alec Marty finally drove him to the ground over there for the Silver Streaks. Good tackle by a junior, Mr. Marty, as the Streaks trying to fight off what would be Manuel's second score of the evening.
2:40 to go in the game. They've turned it over three times, all on interceptions.
As always, we'll get the thoughts of Coach Tim Doherty after this one is over. And opposed to some other coaches we've had over the years that took a long time until we could get to them, Coach Doherty just usually gets the team together, says they have a brief timeout for prayer or whatever, a moment of silence, and then he addresses the team for maybe a minute, and then we're on. So he doesn't believe in standing around on the field a whole long time afterwards.
Silver Streaks have put a number of defenders into the game who haven't gotten to play as much on the varsity level, and I think that's the reason for the Galesburg timeout here. Maybe more motivational than anything with a 42-8 score and say, hey, let's buckle down here with the ball sitting on our 10-yard line and let's keep these guys out of the end zone for the final 2.5 minutes.
And you got, as you mentioned, a mixture of a few of the starters, but some other guys coming in getting some time, and I think, you know, the coaching staff likes to look and challenge them to, you know, even if they haven't played much tonight, to get in there and hold their assignments, do their job, and maybe deny the manual touchdown. You know, just pretend like it's a tie ball game. Don't look at the scoreboard and say, we can let them have one here. Get out there and get after it. So looks like we're going with a little beef out there. We got
Mylon Blissett's in the game.
Mylon's in there.
Gabe Hillman's in the game.
Both of those guys caught my eye. So from tackle to tackle, be kind of hard to move us out of there.
Listed at 300, just a sophomore. Out of the pistol, Sierra rolling right, looking to the far corner of the end zone, but instead he throws it back toward the middle, and it's caught by who else? Leroy Smith. A 10-yard touchdown catch, his second of the night, and 153 yards receiving now on 9 receptions. Sorry, just 8 receptions. It's a pretty good average.
So Manuel makes the score look a little better when the Silver Streaks were down deep in their territory and threatening to get continuous clock. We were thinking 48, maybe 50-8 before this one's over. But Manuel takes it all the way back the other way after getting a stop. They get the touchdown. It's 42-14, and they'll go for the two-point conversion with 2:21 to go.
10-play scoring drive takes 4 minutes, 27 seconds off the clock. Sierra rolling to the near side. Now again throws back toward the middle to Smith, who I don't think was across the goal line. And the Silver Streaks actually kind of gave up on it a little bit.
Sure,
so then
did.
He just had to turn and step across the goal line for the two-point conversion.
Made that look pretty easy to the big guy, Smith. So Manuel tacks on one more. I'm guessing that's the last time they'll see the ball unless we turn it over. 2:20 to go. Manuel will line up and get ready for what should be the final kickoff of the game. And the Silver Streaks with a comfortable win here tonight, getting their record to the 3-3 mark. And that's always nice, you know, just to get up and look at the paper the next morning and see 3-3. You know,
yes.
It's just garners more respect.
Unless you were 3-2 the night before.
Well, right. Or 3-0 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, to be two-thirds of the way through the season, be a 500 team when you're playing a schedule like we're playing and kind of outmanned in some of the games that we're in, you got to feel pretty good about 3-3. I think, you know, at least from our vantage point, we've won the 3 games that we could, and the other 3, even though we were close at halftime, we really were overachieving, I thought, there to a certain degree against all 3 of those teams that eventually won by wider margins. So I think you could ask any more out of this particular group than what we've had here through the first two-thirds of the season.
Yep.
And, you know, next week will be heavy underdogs with Rock Island coming in.
2:20 to go in the game. Squib kick, end over end, and Alec Marty just falls on it at the 35-yard line, wrestles with the ball a little bit, then makes sure he has a handle on it and tucks it in.
Well, it was funny because it was the second time he fell down. He must have caught a cleat or something because as the ball was starting to roll, told him he fell on his face, and then he got back up and fell on the ball again. So it wasn't the prettiest way to get the job done, but he was still stayed with the play and got it wrestled in there.
Again, we want to thank Ted Bevenauer, Brian Prescott, our co-workers, for keeping us and, therefore, you, our listeners, as well, updated on all the scores around the area tonight. And I sure appreciate their efforts with lots of big games in the area and certainly just games of interest with local teams and conference implications on the line. Handoff up the middle to Tevin Taylor, who gets his first carry since, I think, also in the Moline game, if I remember right. And it goes as a gain of 8. Nice run for the sophomore Taylor on first down.
Now we're having to play Name That Silver Streak with all the different players that are in. Let's see, who was...
Sorry, it was a gain of 9 for Taylor.
Trying to tell who's running the quarterback. I'm showing 20, and I don't have a 20. You have a 20?
Let me pull my wallet out. See if... So we're going to say Andrew Jackson, back to pass, hands off to Taylor again. Little hole across the left side. Nice energetic run by the sophomore Taylor, who carries it into manual territory across the 50 to the 49. Gain of 7.
And the only other quarterback I see listed on the roster is Cody Hawthorne. Shows him as 12. Hand off
up
inside.
The middle.
A short 2-yard gain there for the Streaks. Clock down to 1:20 and still rolling.
This will go 2nd and 8 now. Nope. Actually, they don't even give him that. Just a yard. So we approach the 1-minute mark of a 42-16 Galesburg lead.
You know, we were joking in the car on the way up about years ago and found a player that was unidentified, made up a name for him.
That was on the other side, though.
Hey, you can get away with that with a visiting school.
Yeah,
right?
We don't want to do that for our own team. But I didn't bring my sophomore roster, and even if we did, doesn't mean they're wearing the same number on the varsity
right.
level anyway.
But we're about one play away from being done with this one. We're shuffling players in and out. The clock at the 30-second mark, and so you got to figure we may just run one and call it a night here.
On third and five for the Silver Streaks from the Manual 44-yard line. Handoff goes left to Taylor again. Manual swarms around him for no gain. And that ought to be the end of the game. As the Silver Streaks will improve to 3-3, Manual drops to 0-6. Well, the players are scrambling back like they want to run more play, but they're not going to get it done.
Yep, you probably want to do the same thing, but that's it.
Silver Streaks are 3-3, and they'll get back into Western Big Six Conference action the next 2 weeks at home against Rock Island, off to Quincy in 2 weeks, and then right back here at Peoria Public School Stadium in 3 weeks to wrap up the regular season when the Silver Streaks will battle the Lions of Peoria High School. But their first successful road trip of the year as Galesburg gets its first road win, 42-16 over Manual, which drops to 0-6. Postgame show is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Beginning Monday, October 7th, the City Bus Transfer Point downtown will be permanently located one block west of its current location. It will move to the corner of Prairie and Main Streets near the Sandberg Annex and Azer Medical Supply. The change is due to the beginning of the Seminary Kellogg Overpass Project. For bus routes and fare details, find them on Facebook. Just search Galesburg Transit.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
You are the talent. You are the strength. You are the athlete. When you're under those lights, something happens inside of you. Your feet move faster. Your hands grip tighter. Your heart beats harder. And time slows down. The weight of the team is on you, and you've never felt lighter. That's what good equipment does for you. It's there, performing with you. Breedlove's has the gear you need to be even better than you already are. Settle for nothing less than professional brands that deliver every time, like you. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. Altogether better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight tonight, lows of 68. Tomorrow, not as warm with showers and thunderstorms likely, highs of 76. Tomorrow night, still partly cloudy and much colder with a chance of showers in the evening, lows dropping down around 44. And finally, Sunday, partly sunny throughout the day and colder with highs only getting up to 58, overnight lows of 42. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 77 at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Silver Streaks win it tonight 42-16. They spoil the Manual Rams homecoming, and the Streaks have broken huddle. Let's go down to the field. Jim Lee is now with head coach Tim Doherty.
Okay, down here on the field, and Coach Tim Doherty talking with us here a little bit, and he's going to get a word with Peyton Isaacson before we send him back to the locker room. Great job by a lot of the Silver Streaks tonight. And, Coach, you scored the first four times you had the ball. Obviously, your game plan had to be pretty good, and the kids executed.
Well, you know, I think it was. And really, from what we've been through, I wanted to get our kids a feeling of, you know, we do what we do, and that's what I'm most proud of. And coming out Monday, you know, just like I talked to the kids, resilience of this week, not just tonight, but, you know, that's what I'm most proud about.
Good balance with the running game, too. Early in the season, it was Ben Holloway or nothing running the ball. We got J.J. Range more incorporated early, and Nick Myler showed some great stuff there in the later part of the game.
He did. You know, we were ready to implement him earlier, too, but he just, you know, he's sophomore, wasn't ready. But he really showed some great things tonight, really on both sides of the ball. So And JJ's playing better. So, yeah, there's no question that we're just trying to, you know, get more diversified. And Peyton managed the game well. You know, he took some shots down the field. But I'm real proud of our guys.
We talked at halftime about the preponderance of penalties in that first half. Second half, only a couple of hankies. Did you, as a coach, did you address that at halftime, or did the officials just call a little looser?
I don't know. I don't know if, like I said, at halftime I got to look at the film and see if it was clean or it was on our part. But, I quite honestly I can't remember. It was so long ago.
It was a long night, but a good night now. The downside was, and I guess, you know, you expected Manuel to throw the ball. They didn't have a whole lot of luck in it early. They finally pretty well abandoned the running game, started throwing to the big kid, the Smith kid, and he was a problem for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're chucking it every down, and we were subbing a little bit at the end, but their skill guys are as athletic as our guys, so it's, you know, even though the score looks like it should be easier, it's still like it's the first snap of the game. So, you know, again, I credit our kids that they hung in there.
And you had to change a little bit on the offensive line. You had Hawkins at center tonight with an injury there, and it looked like the line, everybody responded pretty well.
They did, you know, and Matt, we had to slide him in the center, and it just seems like we haven't had the same lineup 2 weeks in a row. But, again, credit to Hawk and then the guys that we moved, Gage over to the right side. So, again, it's, you know, our kids are, you know, slowly growing up, as you say, and just getting better with each week.
And, of course, you can always pick out a lot of players in a given play. We thought Boffman was all over the place defensively, tackled. There's a lot of calls of his name tonight.
Yeah, he did, you know, and he hasn't played much defense. So, again, it was that, trying to get guys on the field more. And I think Aaron had a nice game on defense because he really hadn't played much defense since before tonight.
Yeah, well, congratulations. A nice win and good to see you back at the 500 mark, isn't it?
Win 3. Yeah. Yep, we'll right. take it.
Very good.
Thanks, coach. Okay, thank you.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty joining us in the postgame show. Regardless of the outcome tonight, it's a good one. 42-16 over the Manuel Rams. The 3 that they're talking about, third win of the year for the Streaks, who even their record at the 500 mark. We'll take a break, take a look at the final stats when we come back on the postgame show from Peoria Public School Stadium on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It's time for your annual checkup, but you don't need a hospital gown for this one. Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, suggests you complete an insurance checkup once a year. Life changes quickly. A checkup will ensure that your policy still provide the right amount of coverage for you and your family. You might even be able to lower your premiums with an auto or home policy from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For an insurance checkup, contact me, Mark Craddy, or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Galesburg Silver Streaks now 3-3 in the varsity level after defeating Peoria Manuel, sending the Rams to their sixth consecutive loss this year to go along with a winless season last year. Let's take a look at the final statistics. Let's start off with the Rams, who don't put a whole lot of numbers on the ground. They do finish with 112 yards rushing on 22 carries. Quarterback Marcus Sierra, 12 carries for 52 yards. Ronald Powell, 10 carries for 51. And Dakar Harris had a single carry for 9 yards, 22 for 112 on the ground. Through the air, Marcus Sierra passing the ball 13 of 26 with 3 interceptions and 3 touchdowns. He finished with 210 yards passing, 153 of those on the receiving end to Leroy Smith, including all 3 of the touchdowns. Ivy had 2 catches for 27 yards, Ashford 2 for 15, and E.J. Myler had 1 catch for 5 yards. And again, 200 yards passing, 210 yards passing tonight for Marcus Sierra. Manuel finished penalized 3 times for 25 yards. For the Galesburg Silver Streaks, 53 carries for 385 yards on the ground tonight, including 5 touchdowns, 3 for Ben Holloway, 2 for Nick Myler. Holloway finishes his best offensive night as a running back, 16 carries for 173 yards, including a 64-yard touchdown run. Nick Myler had a lot of carries late in the game, and he crossed 100 yards rushing with 12 carries, 104 yards, and 2 touchdowns. J.J. Range, 16 carries for 78 yards, and then a number of other players. Peyton Isaacson, a conservative night on the ground, 3 carries for 5 yards. Tevin Taylor had 3 carries for 17. Christian Powers got a 3-yard run in there as well. Peyton Isaacson, much better night passing, All the difference in the world between playing Peoria Notre Dame's defense last week and Manuel's defense this week. Isaacson 6-for-7 through the air for 106 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown pass to Ben Holloway, who had 2 catches for 58 yards. Ryan Darby had a 17-yard catch. J.J. Range had 1 for 14 yards. Michael Moss had a 9-yard catch. Jake Ferguson had an 8-yard reception. Also, interceptions tonight on the defensive end for the Silver Streaks. 1 for Ferguson, 1 for Holloway. 1 for Rain, so the offensive skill players were involved heavily on the defensive end as well. We'll take a break here on the post-game show. Give your Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Get your car fixed at Dave's Auto Body, and you could earn detail for life.
Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's.
It's football Saturday under the lights. Be there with a Fighting Illini open home Big Ten play against Wisconsin Saturday, October 19th for a night game at 7 p.m. Get there early for a free concert at 5 p.m. featuring Arista Record country music artist The Henningsons performing live at Street Fest. And after the game, fans will be treated to a special fireworks show in the stadium. Don't miss Illinois' Big Ten home opener against Wisconsin Saturday, October 19th. Get your tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Can tell the difference between someone who's come to the class prior to their surgery and had the education versus those that have not.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center introduced their joint camp program back in 2006. Registered nurse Connie Young feels the program has influenced positive outcomes.
It's really about educating our patients. What's going to happen to them when they get their joint replaced? What's their care going to be like when they're in the hospital?
Joint camp is your first step to full recovery. OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together. They're better.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
They led 28-0 at halftime. It was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. Manuel scored on the first possession of the second half to cut the lead to 28-8. Galesburg came back, got a score, and added one more before Manuel got the final score of the night. Ended up being in favor of the Silver Streaks 42-16. So our final order of business here, Jim, is the Streaks even their record at 3-3 as the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. And, well, I won't say an easy choice tonight, but we could go obvious or we could go generous. And I,
well, the only way Ben Holloway doesn't get it is because he got it once earlier in the year.
In the Moline
sometimes
game.
We like to spread the wealth around.
Right.
And, you know, we could make some cases for some of the guys that I had mentioned with Coach Doherty tonight. Obviously, Nick Myler did a really, really nice job there, especially in the second half as we were that last drive or two to help put the game away. So, tip of the cap to Nick Myler
sure.
tonight. Also, Aaron Boffman on defense. Barnes back on defense again. So, you know, there were a lot of guys chipped in. Certainly tonight, that offensive line could probably all get a game ball this evening. But, when one guy scores your first four touchdowns, makes some saving tackles and interception, I mean, it's kind of hard to have any legitimacy and walk out of here and not say he wasn't not only the crunch time player of the game, but the overall player of the game. Ben Holloway was terrific again tonight.
All right, so the Streaks are 3-3. The sophomores lost tonight. They're 0-6, and Galesburg returns home next week. Final game ever at Van Dyke Field, at least in the regular season. Streaks, they can win two out of their last three games. Central lost down at Quincy tonight. 37-16, I think, was the final. So,
it's not impossible. They've got to pull a big upset sometime in the next 2 weeks and then get Central. As much as I'd love to see us beat Rocky and Quincy back-to-back, that's very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
If we can find out a way to somehow get it all together and beat one of those teams and then have a better shot at Central here in week 9, there's a chance, but we're certainly still got an uphill road to fight.
Yeah, and even at 5-4, if the Streaks were to make the playoffs, the chance of getting a home game is
very
highly unlikely.
Yeah.
So we are looking at least extremely plausibly the last game ever at Van Dyke Field next week. So we hope we get a big, big crowd out there next week. And, get a big crowd, make a lot of noise, get some momentum going in your favor. Who knows?
Yep, start fast and see what happens.
So hope you can be with us next week. Jim, I understand you'll be gone, so we will miss you, but we'll soldier on without you.
You will with the big voice of Jim Wyman joining you here. You guys will have a lot of fun with that. It'd be good to hear Jim on the air next Friday night.
3-3, the streaks are after winning tonight over Manuel 42-16. Our thanks to Nick Simpson at the downtown studios. Our thanks to Ted Bevenauer and Brian Prescott for bringing us scoring updates to keep you folks informed throughout the night as well. But the most important score and the best one of the night right here, 42-16, the streaks defeat Peoria Manuel. For Nick Simpson, for Jim Lee, for everyone at WGIL, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night from Peoria.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.